The following is a special ESPN 1000 presentation. And now, live from the Advocate Center in Chicago, it's the 2018 NBA Draft on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
With the offensive rebound and the slam.
Grabbed by Bagley, can't make it in the foul. Marvin Bagley III will not be denied. Size and talent.
2018 NBA Draft.
How about Jaren Jackson Jr.? Oh! What a play!
Doncic, a contrapiente, Giannis, a la pata coja.
Bueno.
De tres. Luka Doncic de tres, de videojuego la que ha metido.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Baba fight for the rebound and the flush.
Carter a three. Of course he can make a three.
12-3 of the year for Wendell Carter.
Where'd he go? Trae Young, here I am. Trae Young step back, drops it.
Good evening. And welcome to the NBA Draft.
Live from the Advocate Center in Chicago, it's the 2018 NBA Draft with Nick Friedell and Chris Black. Here's Jonathan Hood.
Live from the Advocate Center in Chicago, this is the 2018 NBA Draft Show on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Along with ESPN.com NBA reporter Nick Friedell and UIC Flames basketball color analyst Chris Black, I'm Jonathan Hood. Gentlemen, starting at the bottom of the hour, we're going to see stars of tomorrow walk across the stage at the Barclays Center, where their dreams of being in the National Basketball Association becomes a reality. And it seems to me that the top of the draft, the trend for the top of the draft, is a multifaceted big that can put the ball on the floor, shoot threes, go to the basket, defend, long wingspan. There seems to be a plethora of that type of player in the first round, Nick.
Hoodie, the word is out around the league. If you're a young big man, you got to be able to shoot it. You got to be able to move the ball. You've got to be able to do and have an entirely different set of skills than you might have even 10 or 15 years ago. So all these guys at the top, they're able to do a lot more than just post on the blocks and get it rolling like it was in years past. I'm very curious to see how it sets up after Ayton and probably Bagley at 2 to Sacramento.
Nick, Jonathan, it's the best night of the year if you're an NBA fan. And the one thing to kind of note as we head into this evening is a lot of chatter early on about moves all over the place. I think we can all agree that DeAndre Ayton will probably go number one, like you said, Nick. But after that, it's all question marks. We know that Sacramento has the cards holding it at number two. We'll see if they go with Bagley or if a team's going to jump up maybe for Luka Doncic. A lot of coverage over the top 10, and we're keeping our eyes on Michael Porter Jr. Lots of news about his back and all kinds of different things going on today before the draft.
Let's talk a little bit about the trends that we're seeing here in the NBA, because we've done this show quite a while where teams are trying to covet a guard, trying to covet a guy that maybe was a forward that could be able to put the ball on the floor. But now we're seeing every team here, especially in the top seven, top eight, are looking for their own personal Giannis Antetokounmpo if possible.
And that's the way the league has shifted, Hoodie. It's rare since we've been doing these shows that there are a string of big men up top that are this talented. And that's where the shift has started, where you know you need guys who can stretch out the floor. You get a little down low towards the end of the top 10, and you start to see smaller guards, notably Trae Young. But that's the switch. There are guys now who are able to do a lot of different things as compared to one or two very good things. And, Chris, as I look through what's happened in the top of the draft here, you've got Ayton. You know that he's going number one to Phoenix, and he's that big body who can maybe change the course of the franchise. But then the guy I know a lot of people in Chicago are focused on, Mo Bamba, he may not have the outside shot of some of the other guys around him at the top of the draft, but he has a ton of talent and can be that defensive stalwart for you for years to come.
Yeah, Mo Bamba coming into this season for the NBA will have the largest wingspan out of any player in the league. And the one thing to note about Mo Bamba is his motor. Because when he was at Texas last year, people questioned the motor. But yet, at the end of the season into this draft process, he's developed a shot and he's worked really hard. So you really have to take everything into consideration, because you expect a guy with the skill set that Mo Bamba has to dominate games in the Big 12. He didn't necessarily always do that, and that's where the draft process gets interesting, because you look at the physical skills, you say that guy should go high. But then you have to question, why wasn't he more dominant in a Big 12 conference where he was clearly the best center playing this season. So I think that's interesting, Nick, because Mo Bamba is going to be a key that I think we've heard that the Bulls are very interested in. Can they get into position to take a Mo Bamba? And if they move up, is that the right guy to take at that spot?
Let's hear from Sean Harrington from ESPN.com, the old sharpshooter from the Illini. He talked about the trends here in the draft, guys that are long and athletic.
It's really amazing when you watch games now. It's guard oriented, and it is very hard to find a guy with making plays with his back to the basket that's dominating the league. And it's really going towards that 2-3 position where guys are versatile, can play two or three different positions. So finding a player that fits kind of that mold, that has that length, has that skill. There's a lot of talk about bigs kind of in those first 7-8 spots, and right now I just think the league is trending towards guard play, going towards wing play, and that's where I would look to try to get a player that kind of fits that mold, that you can have a scorer and a defender that has some length.
You agree with what Sean's talking about?
Yeah, I mean, the key, Hoodie, is you've got to have a guy who can defend. And if he can't defend, he better be able to shoot the lights out. And anywhere you go now in the league, you need guys who have length all over the place. What's going to be Golden State ultimately for any of these teams that are trying to build a title contender, guys? It's the ability to guard multiple positions and have space all over the floor where you don't feel like you need to cover up anyone. So, yes, that is where the league has gone, and that's where, as we've been mentioning throughout here, that's where these top five, six guys, they all have it, and they're going to be able to help their team right away, at least on the defensive front, you'd think.
It's an interesting look at the league, right? Because all these big, tall players who are going to go at the top of the draft, we were told for the last couple of years the way the league is played, you want ball handlers, guys that can shoot, yet all the bigs are 1 through 5, 1 through 7. So it'll be interesting with the Bulls picking 7. Are they going to land a guard to assist with the shooting that they need help on so desperately? Or do they go with this theme that is kind of a one-year thing? Because recently we've been told in the league, because of Golden State, because of the Rockets, because of other teams, you need ball handlers and guys who can flat-out shoot. So how do you upgrade that if you're the Chicago Bulls tonight? And if you have a big, do you take the right big? Because we all know not all can guard on the perimeter, not all can handle the ball, and not all can do multiple different things like all of these guys are projecting to do at this moment, because they're salesmen. They're trying to sell themselves to NBA teams. So trying to find the guy who could be the next Joel Embiid, or is he the next Greg Oden? That's what you kind of have to figure out with all these guys who have the skill set of a big but step out and shoot the three-point shot.
Along with Chris Black and Nick Friedel, Jonathan Hood with you from the Advocate Center in Chicago for the 2018 NBA Draft here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. So when we look at number 7 for the Bulls, there's been so much speculation. I'm so glad that the day is here for the NBA Draft, so there's no more speculation.
Finally.
So there's no more questions. And the thing is that when people ask me about this draft for 2018 for the Bulls, I don't think this is one of these things where the Bulls are going to reach. I think that some of the players that we've already mentioned here, there's going to be quality for the Bulls to be able to find here. This, I think in this particular draft, whether it's going to be Wendell Carter, whether it's going to be Kevin Knox, whether it's going to be Mo Bamba, I think that they'll be able to find the player that they want. Keep in mind, the core as is solid. What I'm looking forward to seeing is to see the core play without any injuries or without any stoppage. I want to see how this core plays. And then this addition here can only enhance what the Bulls already have.
Well, there's no question, Hoodie. And I know there's a lot of speculation right now, assuming the Bulls stay at 7, on Wendell Carter Jr. Sure. He appears to be the guy who would fit alongside Lauri Markkanen and who you can build with for years to come. Mm-hmm. The key there is, and you brought up a point that we're going to discuss throughout the night, are you really sold on the core of Markkanen, Dunn, and LaVine moving forward? And if you're the Bulls and you're a Bulls fan, you're sitting there saying, if they're healthy, how good can they be? And that's what this team in the front office has to figure out this summer, certainly with Zach LaVine's contract situation coming up in the next couple weeks as a restricted free agent. But that's what you have to be sure on as you move forward. Are these the guys that you are sure can be building blocks? But I could not agree with you more. And, Chris, as I look at the potential for the picks that the Bulls may make here in an hour or so, I see a lot of guys who are going to be really good. I don't see this as a stretch pick or a safe pick if you end up with a guy like Wendell Carter Jr. I think he can come in right away and really help out if he is indeed the guy.
I think it breaks down like this. The Bulls at 7 are facing a situation where the top four guys, I think, are going to be star to superstar potential level players.
Sure.
Then at 5 in the list, however you want to look, you're looking at Mo Bamba, which could kind of go either way, right? Like, he has a potential, but it scares me that he developed this new shot since the end of the college season, so this isn't something he's always had. Then you have a category of four guys, Porter, Wendell Carter, Trae Young, and probably Mikal Bridges, who are all going to be sitting there for the Chicago Bulls. And you would expect, if you look at those eight to nine players, the Bulls are going to pick one or three of the four that I listed last. So then you're looking at Trae Young, Porter, Bridges, or Wendell Carter Jr. Right. And when you look at those four guys, I agree. I think if you just go with the pick in front of you and you take Wendell Carter, that is a smart, safe bet for the Chicago Bulls. He will be a solid starter for this team for years to come. I'm just not sure if that's the pick that will get you to the next level. I think we can all agree, if the team was healthy, Jonathan, to what we were talking about,
right,
they probably could have made the playoffs if they stayed healthy for the entire season last year.
Sure. There's no value to it, but no, they would have made the playoffs anyway.
They have enough talent on the roster to do so. Right. But as we sit and talk for every show that we do on this station, we always talk about, how do we get closer to a championship? Will the pick of Wendell Carter Jr. get you closer to a championship? I'm not sure if it will. I think it gets you closer to 41 and 41, which is something we're used to. But we were told that this is all rebuilding process to then go chase championships. Wow. So, I mean, and that's kind of the rub when we sit here a year later from the Jimmy Butler trade, is that we want this proud franchise to compete for championships. Is tonight the night that you make a move to put yourself in that category, on that trajectory again? Or is it going to be another ho-hum night? You take the safe bet, you move along, and we see what we get in the future.
Let's hear from Adrian Wojnarowski, who covers the NBA for ESPN and ESPN.com. He talks about what kind of players the Bulls are looking for in the draft.
Finding another big to pair with Lauri Markkanen is going to be really important. They're going to have options. If Wendell Carter is a guy who slides to 7, I think he's a perfect fit next to Lauri Markkanen. Maybe one of the most underrated bigs in this draft. 6'10", 250 pounds, can step out and shoot the 3, can score on the block, can protect the rim. I think those two would fit really nicely together, but there is a chance he's off the board at that point. So do they look at another guard once Chris Dunn had a really good season? And then at 22, they'll have some options. This is a deep draft from that 20 to 40 range.
And they're going to be sneaking in free agency. They've got a young core that people want to play with. It's Chicago. They have sped up that rebuild in Chicago. They're going to be, I think, a factor in July, too.
All right, so the thoughts there from Adrian Wojnarowski, who covers the NBA for ESPN.com. When we return, we talk about the first year of the rebuild for the Bulls. Successful or not? We discuss it coming up next as you're listening to the 2018 NBA Draft Show, live from the Advocate Center with Chris Black and Nick Friedell, Jonathan Hood, on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Now back to our coverage of the 2018 NBA Draft on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Live from the Advocate Center here in Chicago, along with Chris Black and Nick Friedell, Jonathan Hood with you. Glad you're with us for wall-to-wall coverage of the 2018 NBA Draft. As soon as the Bulls will have their pick, no one else on the radio will give you the Bulls pick like we will. The Bulls will have two picks here, unless the Bulls do something else. You know, last year this time when we were doing the draft, some chicanery took place upstairs here at the Advocate Center as Jimmy Butler was no longer part of the team. But the Bulls will have picks at 7 and 22 in the first round of the NBA draft. Some notes for you here as we get ready for the bottom of the hour when the draft takes place. Three of the top prospects in this year's draft class have a connection to either the state of Arizona or the Suns franchise. We expect that DeAndre Ayton, who was an All-American in his only season at University of Arizona, 20 points a game, 11 rebounds. Luka Doncic, which has been a wild card, interesting name there, played under the current Suns coach Igor Kokoskov while representing Slovenia. So it should be interesting to see how that works out.
Oh, you got it, my man.
Oh, absolutely. Been practicing that in the mirror all day. Marvin Bagley III played high school basketball in Tempe in Phoenix. So there is an Arizona contingent there. But, you know, when we take a look at the top of the draft with Ayton, we've known that this is going to be the top guy in the draft over the last month or so. Here's the thing that I see, guys. even though that a lot of the top five, top six players are alike that we expect to see in the draft, that are long, athletic, and do all the things that the modern NBA scout wants to see, I think there's a big gulf between Ayton and everybody else. Do you see the same thing? I think Ayton does so many different things on the floor, and I just think that some of these other guys, they're good, but I don't know if they're at Ayton's level.
Well, Ayton's exactly what you want in the center position today. A guy who can step out on the floor, shoot comfortably, and I'm not just saying he can maybe make one. He steps into that three-point shot like he was meant to shoot three-point shots, and he's a center who is huge, a big force down low. He's really good on the second hop. He's good at rebounding. He's good at everything on the block as well. So, I mean, yeah, Jonathan, I agree. DeAndre Ayton going number one is not a shock to me. I would say, though, I would put Luka Doncic into that category above everyone else. So you do have a top two guys, and I think there has been a little fatigue for Luka Doncic, because we knew going into this season that he was probably the number one draft prospect, him and Michael Porter Jr. And then throughout the year, hearing about him, playing. He's played so many games. He played over 90 games this season for Real Madrid. Some of these college players has played, 30, 35 mm-hmm. games right. this season? And you can see people pointing to the last championship game for Real Madrid, which was, 2 days ago? He was over in Spain 2 days ago. He's flown to New York since then for the draft tonight. He had 8 points, 8 rebounds, and 2 assists. And people are like, well, if he's the number one pick in the draft or the top two players in the draft, why is he only doing that in the Spanish league? Guys, he's played 90-plus games this year. He's been the MVP in the Spanish league. I think a lot of people have kind of just thrown their hands up and, well, I don't watch them enough
because
to know.
Because it's on YouTube, you have to search it out.
Hold up. We all have NBA TV, right?
I understand.
They've shown many Real Madrid games on NBA TV over the last year. You can find them if you want to.
The fear always is, and it's an unfair fear of whether or not he's Darko or not.
Sure.
And I don't think that he's Darko Milicic. And by the way, if we were even going to go into that, Darko was drafted clearly too high, but it's not like he couldn't have been a productive NBA player. That was already a good Detroit Pistons team, but he couldn't work into that system so quickly. Darko actually was a good player. It just didn't work out at two. I think that what I've continued to read about Luka is Doncic is – I keep seeing the comps of like Gordon Hayward, which is not bad, by the way. You can make a living being Gordon Hayward, but not necessarily Pau Gasol. What do you think of that level?
Well, so here's the thing. He is a great passer.
Yeah.
He has great vision, and he has go-to NBA-style shot-making ability already. He has that step-back shot from the three-point line. He has all of these tools already in the tool belt, mm-hmm. and he just turned 19.
Right.
So, you know, there's a reason in Europe they call him the Wonder Boy, because he has been so good over there that I just think people are kind of going to look back at this draft and say, yeah, Ayton was the number one pick, but man, did we hype Luka Doncic enough? Because he is that talented, skilled 6'8 point guard who can handle the ball, pass, great vision, and he can get his own shot up. So, I mean, I think people look at it too and they see like not explosive athleticism that jumps off the page. But, I mean, did you really see that from James Harden when he was in college either?
No.
And he knew how to play the tempo and the pace to manipulate a defender to get his own shot off, and he's become the MVP in the league.
So you heard it here first, the Bulls drafting Luka Doncic.
Hey, man, Jonathan, if they do that tonight, seriously, the Bulls will be set up for the future.
Absolutely.
If they compare Markkanen with Doncic, that really would be the best possible situation from tonight.
But it looks like he's going to be a top five guy.
Yeah, there's the issue for the Bulls, and I know there have been a lot of fans out there, guys, who have wanted to see them get up into the top three or four to get a guy like Doncic or Bagley. There's been more push around Bamba in the last couple days. The reality is the Bulls just don't have that much to deal. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's where we're at right now. They've got this 22nd pick from the Nico Mirotic trade. There's not a lot of other guys on the roster that have that much intrigue around the league. Bobby Portis had a nice year. I know there's been interest in Bobby in years past, but Hoodie, Bobby Portis is going to be a restricted free agent at next season's end, and he wants to get paid. So the reality is, as much as Bulls fans would want to see a move, and this ties into a different conversation about the Bulls, the whole year was based on tanking, and they didn't tank enough. I mean, they didn't lose enough games to put them in that spot where they're in the top three or four. And it's why when we look back on last season, We're going to see what happens tonight and who they select. But as we look back on last season, I think the prevailing thought I've heard from a lot of Bulls fans is, hey, this team that was supposed to be really bad just wasn't bad enough, and it may come back to bite them in who they're able to select tonight.
What do you think, Chris? Because the one thing that was my criticism is, if you want to pare it down, tear it down. Don't just try to appease the owners or the fans in the 100 level. If you want to really get into the lottery and deep into the lottery where you'd be a top three guy, then get all rid of all your assets. But there's still assets there in which you saw some winning streaks. I'm sure the upper management didn't like it, but I mean, unless you are able to really tear it down and bring in some G League players, you got what you got when you're the Bulls.
The teardown project with the rebuild and the demo, you didn't strip the house enough because you had enough to win games. And I know they started this season 3-20. They were sitting at that record on December 6th. Then they went on in the next 12 games to go 10-2. So, I mean, that stretch in December where they went 10-2 really changed everything going forward into this draft, because if you wipe that away, those 10 victories in December, early January, we'd be having a different conversation. Maybe the Bulls would be sitting at 4 or 3, and that kind of has a different perception when you're looking at a rebuild than at 7, and then you see, oh, at 8 are the Cavs, and they might jump you for the player you want. And like, all this different stuff goes into it, and you're like, hold on, I thought my team was a team rebuilding and loading up for the future.
Well, we'll hear what Fran Fraschilla has to say. What's the best pick for the Bulls? We'll have that coming up next as you're listening to the 2018 NBA Draft Show with Chris Black and Nick Friedell. Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Live from the Advocate Center in Chicago, it's the 2018 NBA Draft on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
This is the 2018 NBA Draft on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app, along with Nick Friedell and Chris Plek, Jonathan Hood with you. Glad that you're with us. The Cleveland Cavaliers will select 8th overall, a pick that was originally Brooklyn's, but was acquired by the Cavs when they traded Kyrie Irving to the Celtics last summer. Barring a trade, this will be the highest selection by a team coming off an NBA Finals appearance since the Celtics chose the late Len Bias overall back in 1986. And the Cavs and what they're going to do does affect the Bulls in a lot of ways. It's already been a scuttlebutt here at the Advocate Center, the conversation about, well, if LeBron James leaves and goes to a Western Conference team, now the East is going to be wide open for whomever. Toronto with the rebuild. I think it's going to come down to a lot of Philadelphia, Boston. It's going to be going back to the 80s again. We're going to come down to those two teams. But it's interesting because what we will see from the Cavs here tonight, Chris, is the ability of maybe seeing the future, like now for the Cavs, if LeBron doesn't return.
Yeah, it's fascinating, and I think it's clear to say that that is the buzz around here, is that if LeBron leaves, the East is back wide open.
And the Bulls in the playoffs.
And that's the word around here, and don't be mistaken, if you're a Bulls fan, acting like this Bulls franchise doesn't see that. They see that it is the Celtics and the 76ers and basically a bunch of other teams that you have the ability to quickly become better than on one night. So, you know, you look at what Cleveland's going to do. I know there were reports earlier today that Cleveland was maybe thinking of jumping Chicago to get into that range right ahead of them to maybe take a Michael Porter Jr. We'll see. Maybe the Bulls didn't want him all along, and maybe that's all a smoke scream to kind of make teams that want him to spend assets to try and get him, and they can get the guy they want. It'll be interesting to see because it's two different things. The Bulls have already blown up their team. They are in the rebuild, and that's why we're here tonight, kind of hoping for better. Where Cleveland's kind of stuck. What are they going to do? You have to make a pick to convince LeBron to stay, even though we know most rookies, especially at the 8 spot, don't really help you convince a greatest player of a generation to stay with your franchise. So the Cavs are in a really tight spot, and there's actually more news coming out from Adrian Wojnarowski. We'll keep our eyes on it throughout the night. If you're driving around, you don't have to worry about looking at your phone while listening to the radio. So Woj says, Michael Porter's agent, Mark Bartlestein, is delivering more detailed and recent medical info to lottery teams about Porter's back. Believes there he's given execs more reason to feel comfortable about the long-term prognosis on the back, which is interesting because look at the whole process. News came out earlier in the week and late last week that there was an issue with the back. Teams aren't excited about it. Some teams are starting to worry. There's talk around this building between the media members who are talking to other sources around the league that there's talk that Porter might drop out of the top 10. Minutes before the draft starts, the agent going around passing along more positive back information is only telling me that maybe Porter is slipping.
Absolutely, Chris. And I think that's the issue for not just the Bulls to consider, but all over the place. Porter's storyline, Hoodie, has been one of the biggest for several weeks in the lead up to this moment. The fact that Mark Bartelstein is going around in the very last minute and trying to dispense more information, I mean, that's what an agent does. But if there weren't any concerns, he wouldn't have to go and do what he's doing now.
And talking about the slippage, Woj just tweeted this as well. The Clippers at 12-13 and the Nuggets at 14 are preparing for the possibility that Porter Jr. will be available for them. So think about that.
To just go through the backstory, and we're going to hear from Adrian Wojnarowski in just a moment about the same issue. For those that don't know, Michael Porter Jr. out of Missouri, 10 points a game, 6.7 rebounds, had lower back surgery on November 21st after playing 2 minutes in Missouri's opener. At that time, he was second overall prospect, according to Jonathan Giovanni. Porter Jr. would return to the SEC and the NCAA tournament, ending his college career playing a grand total of 53 minutes. Now, he was the MVP of the McDonald's All-American game, which is fine. But again, lower back surgery is really the storyline when it comes to Michael Porter Jr. Let's hear from Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN.com about why Porter is falling in the draft.
There's a lot of concern among teams in the lottery about a medical report they saw earlier this week that gave them pause about the long-term viability of his back that made him cause him to miss most of that freshman season at Missouri. I talked to his agent, Mark Bartelstein, tonight, who has provided some more up-to-date medical information that he believes is going to give teams some more confidence. But right now in the lottery, the Clippers at 12-13 and the Nuggets at 14 are preparing for the possibility that Michael Porter Jr. may be all the way down there, and they're going to have to make a decision on drafting him.
So thoughts there from Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN.com. The Phoenix Suns are on the clock, gentlemen, and we're going to hear from our guy, Fran Fraschilla, on the Bulls a little bit later on. But right now, the draft has officially started, and the Phoenix Suns are on the clock. And Phoenix, guys, is a wonderful city with hot weather, great food, and the bar scene is off the charts. The worst part about Phoenix is the Suns, who continue to rebuild and lose a ton. The Suns finished with 21 wins, three fewer than last year, and they fired their head coach Earl Watson 5 days into the season. Devin Booker and T.J. Warren are up-and-coming players, but former lottery picks such as Josh Jackson, Marquise Chris, and Dragan Bender, they showed flashes this season as well. Flashes, not victories.
And there's the key, Hoodie, because you have all this promise, and Devin Booker's been the guy out there for a couple years now, and a lot of people around the league love his game. But you have to turn all this promise into wins, and that's a very difficult task in the Western Conference, especially when you've got a guy like Josh Jackson. You mentioned from last season, he was supposed to be the guy coming out of Kansas, supposed to help them turn completely around. They have a lot of talent in order to be able to climb up that ladder. So in talking to Ryan McDonough, right after the draft lottery, he believes that the talent is there so long as Ayton comes in and can be the guy they need him to be. But, Chris, the issue with Phoenix is when you're playing out in the West, you need young guys to develop very quickly. And they're still so far away, even if they do take Ayton here like we all assume, it's going to take those other guys to really develop just as quick as Ayton will have to.
Let's be real. This team was the worst team in the league. They were the worst offensive efficiency team in the league, the worst defensive efficiency team in the league. But guess what? They're not as bad as you think because they have one piece. They have Devin Booker. And if you pair Devin Booker with another player who can become a star in this league, that is a better start to your franchise than many of the teams are also picking in the top 10. So Phoenix, even though it's a great spot for nightlife and their basketball team sucks, here's the thing. They have Devin Booker, and he is outstanding as a young shooting guard in this league. And if you look at the way teams are using shooting guards to handle the ball more and to manipulate everything from the top of the key, He and a big like DeAndre Ayton would be a perfect fit going forward for the Phoenix Suns.
DeAndre Ayton is supposed to be the first pick. He has not played, didn't play basketball until he was 12 years old, and in which he grew 6'5". There's about less than 2 minutes left in the clock for the Phoenix Suns, the youngest team in the NBA. Last playoff appearance came in 2010, the second longest active drought in the NBA behind the Kings of 2006. Eighth straight year picking in the lottery. Now, again, yes, we have highlighted their young players, but at some point you've got to be able to manifest yourself. But here's the difference between the West and the East. In the East, if Phoenix was there, and it would be kind of weird from a geographical standpoint, but if Phoenix was in the East, that team is a playoff team. It's a team that's on the rise. We look at them like we look at Milwaukee. We look at them like some of the younger teams up and coming in the East. Unfortunately, the Suns are just buried because you have such a mountain of talent, 1-8, 1-9, 1-10 in the West.
And it's interesting, Hoodie, to me how the storyline has shifted around Phoenix, because when they hired your guy Igor, pronounce that last name for me again, since you've been working
Igor
on it.
Kokoskov. Yeah.
Since they hired Igor, the theory was Luka Doncic would come in and be his guy because they had that pairing together. They've been together for several years over in Europe. All of a sudden, they get the number one pick, and it's shifted a little bit. So I'm curious to see not only how Igor, as the first European coach to be in the NBA, will do, but how he adjusts to what they need to build.
Let's go to the commissioner, Adam Silver, with the first pick of the draft.
With the first pick in the 2018 NBA draft, the Phoenix Suns select DeAndre Ayton from Nassau, Bahamas, and the University of Arizona.
Ayton is a physical freak at 7'1", 260 pounds, runs the floor like a deer, can catch lobs, can stretch the floor to three. There are questions about his defensive ability. He can switch on the perimeter, but not much of a rim protector. Gonna have to improve defensively to live up to his franchise center potential.
So now the king of the Bahamas, DeAndre Ayton, has finally get a chance to now be the number one pick of the draft. DeAndre Ayton, the big center from Arizona, now the number one pick in the draft going to the Phoenix Suns. And Igor Kokoskov, that era has begun now in Phoenix, Arizona.
And finally, Hoodie, for a Suns team that has been so bad for so many years since Steve Nash and Amari Stoudemire left town, at least now there's hope. This is a young core that we've discussed can possibly turn things around real quickly. But they need Ayton to be the guy that everybody believes he can be.
Will DeAndre Ayton be the next Joel Embiid? That's really what you're looking at if you're the Phoenix Suns, because his body type, his shoulders, his thick frame, his bouncy, athletic, vertical ability, that's all awesome and great. Now he has to go out and improve it and improve on the defensive end, because that's the one knock with DeAndre Ayton is a player with that size. He needs to be a more dominant defensive player, and that's what we've seen from Joel Embiid. Embiid's ability to be a difference maker on defense, can Ayton do the same thing for the Suns?
The Sacramento Kings are on the clock. Let's hear a further breakdown about the number one pick in the draft, DeAndre Ayton.
DePaul head men's basketball coach Dave Lado.
He's a guy that brings an athletic skill to the position. He brings bulk, but he brings savvy as well, and he brings a touch. So you start putting that in the form of potential together, and you have the makings of a guy that could perform at a very high level.
UIC Flames men's basketball coach Steve McClain.
You have a legitimate five-man for the next 12 years of your franchise. And you know, you watch him play and his physical strength. And yet, you know, when you watch him play, he also has an unbelievable touch for a big guy. And he shoots a soft ball. And he, I think, can play farther out from the rim than probably he even showed at Arizona. And so, again, you're talking about such a high-level athlete. His body is probably more physically mature right now for the NBA game than, say Mo Bamba. But he's hard to pass as the number one pick.
Former Illinois superstar and Illini radio analyst Deion Thomas.
Well, one of the things I like most about him is not just what he can do by stepping out and shooting the ball, besides a solid post game. He plays with a chip on his shoulder. He plays kind of mad. I mean, he's not standing out there like some guys that have that ability and just pump up 3-point shots and things of that nature. He will get down in the post and he will punish you. And when he blocks a shot and lets you know. So if I had to take one of the things that is even is a little different than some of the other guys on there, except for maybe a Jaren Jackson, he plays with a little bit of nastiness.
Former Chicago Bulls and L.A. Clippers head coach Vinny Del Negro.
Well, first is, you know, his size. You know, physically he's imposing. I mean, he's got an NBA body. He's still very young. But when you watch him play, obviously I live out in Arizona, so I saw him a lot this year. Great rotation on his ball. Pretty good footwork, can stretch the floor, has a good, he sees the game, I think, very well, has good hands. You know, you put the right players around him, he's going to be a problem. I mean, he's just got the size and the skill set that is going to translate eventually if he's put in the right system. And it's going to take time, don't get me wrong, but he's a guy that has the ability with his size and body and his skill set that can have an impact on the game immediately. It's going to be interesting to see how he continues to develop his game and the speed of the game as he gets to the next level.
So the thoughts there of DeAndre Ayton, the number one pick in the draft, as you're listening to the 2018 NBA Draft on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app with Chris Black and Nick Friedel, Jonathan Hood with you. The Kings are on the board. Eric Musselman, Reggie Theus, Kenny Natt, Paul Westphal, Mike Malone, Keith Smart, Ty Corbin, George Karl, Dave Yeager. What do they all have in common? They have to – they once coached this team, as we told the commissioner.
NBA Draft. The Sacramento Kings select Marvin Bagley III.
Bagley is an elite athlete at 6'11", the best rim runner in this draft, unbelievable second jump, quick twitch, and extremely productive at Duke as a freshman. Major question marks about his defense, however, not all that long relative to his height. His instincts have room to improve, but he's going to be a 20-10 threat early on in his NBA career.
So the thoughts there from Mike Schmidt, who's going to be helping us out with some profiles here. So Marvin Bagley, the third from Duke, drafted by the Sacramento Kings. So you take a look at this Kings team, Chris. They've all, those coaches I mentioned, all had to coach the NBA sadness known as the Sacramento Kings. Kings haven't been to the playoffs since 05-06, and the team has just been so bad. I don't even think the majority of the fans know that the team moved from the Sleep Train Center to the Golden One Arena. But there are some flashes there. You got De'Aaron Fox. You've got Bogdanovich, who is a terrific player for them. But now they have Marvin Bagley in the mix.
And the word was that the Sacramento Kings want to pair him with Harry Giles, and we saw him not play at all this year for the Sacramento Kings. So basically they're getting two bigs now to pair down low for Sacramento. I mean, Marvin Bagley, 21-11 last year at Duke. He's 19. He plays his butt off. And one of the biggest things with him is his motor. So you look at a guy with a smooth skill set in that type of body and his ability to work hard. And that's something going forward that translates at any level. When you play hard, that's something you can watch a player and say that will work at the next level. So I think looking at Marvin Bagley going second to the Kings, this is huge because now they have that 1A guy who can be your star for the future and kind of build the rest of the team around. You have a point guard. You have a post scorer. Now start to figure it out for the Kings.
You know the most saddest part about this, right, when it comes to quality players on bad teams is that sometimes some of these talented players get a chance to learn how to lose and accept losing, which I hate so much. But as we look at this, Nick, you see Bagley, a terrific player. Maybe, hopefully, he can turn things around for Sacramento.
The thing that intrigued me most in reading and talking to people going into this draft, Hoodie, about Bagley was that he was one of the only guys that came out and said, hey, I want to be in Sacramento. You don't hear that from a lot of players around the league.
No.
You don't hear that from people that live there.
Well, exactly. I mean, truly, you don't hear a lot of young prospects say, this is where I want to go. And I think everybody knew early on that Ayton was the guy at one. Marvin Bagley believed he was the best player in the country and has for a while. So the next best place for him is Sacramento. So to get to that point where you're saying publicly, this is where I want to be, this is where I want to grow, that is a very positive step for a franchise in desperate need of something to build upon, because just like Phoenix, this team has been really bad for years and has made a lot of really poor choices over the last few seasons. in the draft.
DeAndre Ayton and Marvin Bagley III were teammates for one season in high school at Hillcrest Prep in Arizona in 2015-16, so they go 1-2 in the draft. The Atlanta Hawks are on the clock right now as you're listening to 2018 NBA Draft on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app, along with Chris Black and Nick Friedel, John the Hood with you. So the Atlanta Hawks this season, 24-58, that finish was the second worst that they had in franchise history. It goes back to 1968 when the Hawks moved to Atlanta. So that's how bad it's been with that 24-58 finish. So Black Hollywood is a little bit sadder these days, and the bass in the clubs doesn't thump as loudly when the Hawks play. So there's been a lot of winning 10 consecutive playoff appearances to exact under coaches Drew and Woodson and Budenholzer. But now the seats are empty again at the Highlight Factory, and the front office works so hard to try to get that place to be a destination more so than just a place where you can just throw money at stripper poles. So now the Atlanta Hawks on the clock. We'll see what they do.
And Adrian Wojnarowski reporting Atlanta and Dallas have agreed to a deal, league sources tell ESPN. They will trade 3 and 5.
With the third pick in the 2018 NBA draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Luka Doncic from Ljubljana, Slovenia, and Real Madrid.
The 6'8" Slovenian sensation is a childhood prodigy and the most skilled prospect in the draft. Vision of a point guard, uses both sides of the floor at a pick and roll, can make shots off the dribble with range, but there are question marks about his ability to create against athletes as well as his defense, but he's the highest floor prospect in this draft.
So Luka Doncic, from Slovenia, proposed trade rights to Dallas. So is that official now that that Hawks pick is now the Dallas pick?
Yeah, so what will happen per Adrian Wojnarowski is that the picks will swap. Luka Doncic selected there for the Hawks. He will be a Dallas Maverick. And coming back to Atlanta, Trae Young. And that's who the Mavericks will take at number 5.
Wow, okay.
So interesting, already some early movement here. Early in the draft here, before we even get to the number 5 pick, the Grizzlies are on the clock at this point in time.
That is very intriguing, Hoodie, because now you've got Dallas, who is set up with Doncic as their guy, and they have Dennis Smith Jr., who they took last year, and then you have Atlanta with Lloyd Pierce, the new head coach, mm-hmm. who now has his point guard, who he feels like he can build around for years to come. So that sets up a lot of different things for the rest of the night.
Yeah, basically, Dallas is now set up for their future, and you compare Doncic to play with Dirk while he rounds out his career, and that's great. And Atlanta continues to be a dumpster fire.
So
seriously, you make a move for Trae Young like that? Trae Young is now the guy that you trade your number 3 pick for?
Wow. All right. He better be the guy.
Okay.
If you're Atlanta, he better be the guy.
Like I said, dumpster fire.
Well, I know the three of us are not sold there,
right.
But if he is the guy, okay, you know, you can't crush Atlanta, but for years and years, everybody's crushed Atlanta. So why should anybody believe that this time will be any different?
Well, again, they're going for what they consider as a splash, more so than what someone could be a solid player in Doncic. And again, just to go through his the things about Doncic: 2-time EuroLeague Rising Star winner, a 2018 EuroLeague Final Four MVP, led Real Madrid to the 2018 EuroLeague Championship. The youngest player to ever win that award, because he's just 19 years of age. He won it at age 19. So that's we're looking at the Memphis Grizzlies on the clock right now. And again, the Bulls will be picking at 7, but right now we're at 4 with the Grizzlies. Grizzlies 22-60 record, 4th time in franchise history that they've been 22-60. So let me get this straight, guys. So the Grizzlies signed Mike Conley to a 5-year, $153 million deal. 2020-2021, it becomes fully guaranteed if Conley plays 55 games next year or the year after. So that has just been a disaster for the Memphis Grizzlies. The only thing entertaining about that team is the wrestling matches at halftime between Jerry Lawler and Jeff Jarrett at the FedEx Forum. But here's the thing that also really stood out to me is that, can you get your coach fired if the team is terrible? And the answer is yes, when David Fizdale was thrown under the bus by Marc Gasol. Take that for data. So the Memphis Grizzlies on the clock at 4.
The Grizzlies guys have so many different issues to deal with. If you're them now looking ahead, Chris, do you think this is where Jackson comes off the board for Michigan State?
Yeah, he's probably the best available player. And the thing to kind of look at Memphis is you are a team that's not actually as bad as most teams picking fourth in an NBA draft because you had two major injuries to Gasol and to Conley, and that's why you were so bad this last season. So really, their window to win is a lot closer than some of the other teams, like Orlando picking after them, like Phoenix who picked before them, Atlanta and Dallas. This team, when healthy, is actually a team contending for the playoffs, and we saw 2 years ago win some games in the playoffs as well.
J.B. Bickerstaff getting a chance to get his own deal here.
Well, there's the key is, you know, the para, the owner out in Memphis, Hoodie, he's stuck with J.B. Bickerstaff, and that team was atrocious. I saw them several times towards the end of the year. They were tanking as hard as anyone down the stretch there. But to what we're talking about, Memphis has enough pieces where you think, okay, if everybody's healthy, and it is a huge if with Gasol and Conley, Chandler Parsons, that contract is a total disaster. But if all those guys are healthy, maybe you add a piece here if it is Jackson or somebody else, and you think, okay, you got a chance because that is a team that over the years knows how to win. The key then becomes, can J.B. Bickerstaff be the guy who can deliver them there while developing the rest of the young talent on the roster?
Chris, this really is a case of just holding on to your assets too long. You continue to hit like this ceiling over and over again. Good ball clubs, there are always 50-plus wins, but and always a tough out in the playoffs. But you held on to Zach Randolph, you held on to your assets too long, and now you're resetting the franchise.
Yeah, you are. And, you know, if you make the pick of Jaren Jackson Jr., it will really help defensively, absolutely. And he has the ability to score as well. He's one of the younger players in this draft, so you think that his ability to develop within your franchise, and we've seen the Memphis Grizzlies grow their own, and really kind of try and revitalize this grit and grind that they've come to know in Memphis. So I think it's interesting because you're right. They held on to the assets for too long, but if they didn't have the injuries they had in the last season, they'd be middle of the pack, I would guess, right? You would say
in a tough out in the playoffs.
Tough out in the playoffs, yeah. Middle of the pack. So are they in a position to contend for a championship? Probably not, and you're not going to sign a big-name free agent unless his name is Chandler Parsons, and now you want him out of town. So, I mean, it's interesting with Memphis because they really have to keep their homegrown talent, and they have to make right on their draft pick. So it looks like they're going to keep the number four pick.
You kind of have to do that because Memphis is not necessarily a destination mm-hmm. to get your A-level free agents. It'll be like high B quality guys that fit into a system. Hopefully, young Bickerstaff can be able to find that system. Now, again, we already documented the Conley contract, which is a lot great. You have a coach killer in Gasol, clearly, that fired David Fizdale, which was just a shock to me. I'm on the bus with the UIC Flames, and it hit everybody's phone like at the same time. It's kind of like a sitcom situation where all the players and
say,
me
what?
Are looking at this like, Fizdale fired. Take
what?
That for data.
After like a year and change.
Yeah.
I mean, he hadn't even been there very long.
Yeah, I mean, there's a guy there that was a long-time Heat assistant, gets his opportunity to coach, and now, of course, he's going to coach yet another dumpster fire in the New York Knicks.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a job.
It's on
there.
A higher platform.
Right. Let's go to the commissioner, Adam Silver, with the Memphis pick.
With the fourth pick in the 2018 NBA draft, the Memphis Grizzlies select Jaren Jackson Jr. from Michigan State University.
Jackson Jr. is the epitome of a modern NBA big. He switches all five positions, he protects the rim when off the ball, and he spaces the floor to three on the offensive end, shooting close to 40% from three as a freshman. But there are questions about his toughness, his motor is a bit up and down, and his feel for the game is not all that crisp, so he's going to have to improve in those areas to live up to his potential.
So Jaren Jackson Jr. of Michigan State, the second-generation player, is now a Memphis Grizzly. When we come back, we'll find out what Dallas, Orlando, and of course what the Bulls do in our next half hour, along with UIC Flames color analyst Chris Bleck and ESPN.com's Nick Friedel. Jonathan Hood with you live from the Advocate Center for the 2018 NBA Draft on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Now back to our coverage of the 2018 NBA Draft on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Young, the most polarizing prospect in college basketball, has range well beyond 30 feet, and a very underrated passer, arguably the best passer in this draft. Really nice feel for the game when he's fully locked in, but major question marks about his ability to hold up on the defensive end. Got exposed time and time again at Oklahoma, and doesn't have the most impressive physical profile to hold up over 82 games. But if he hits, there's a real chance he has superstar potential.
Welcome back to the 2018 NBA Draft on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app, along with UIC Flames color analyst Chris Black and ESPN.com's Nick Friedel. I'm Jonathan Hood, live from the Advocate Center here in Chicago. We just heard the profile of Trae Young because of the deal. Let's go back to that, Chris, just moments ago. Now Trae Young is with the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah, the Atlanta Hawks, who were third in the draft, drafted Luka Doncic. The trade went down from Adrian Wojnarowski moments before it was announced by Adam Silver. It's for number 5 from the Mavs. So the Mavs select Trae Young, 5th overall, sending him to Atlanta, the dumpster fire, the point guard from Oklahoma. He averaged 27 points per game, 3 rebounds per, and 8.7 assists, Jonathan. Really good offensive talent, but questions on whether or not he'll be able to get his shot off in the NBA and whether or not his body will withstand an NBA season, because to say he's slight, I'm a small person. He weighs 10 more pounds than I do at 178. I weigh 168. So I think if you look at Trae Young, small, he is not Steph Curry. Let's get that out of the way right now.
Well, these comparisons have been unfair for the last couple of weeks, calling him Steph Curry. The numbers are what they are, averaged 27.4 points a game, 8.7 assists last season, becoming the first player to lead Division I in both categories since assists became official in 83 and 84. However, you know, again, with Trae Young, the thing that stood out to me, Nick, is that in non-conference play, I thought that he was terrific. In conference play at Oklahoma, I just thought that he left a lot to be desired.
No question. And with Atlanta, Hoodie, the issue for them is they have been so bad, aside from the Budenholzer couple of years where they got pretty good and got towards the top of the East, they have a hard time filling that building.
Yep.
It's been going on for years and years, guys. Trae Young, I'm with everybody in agreement here. I am not sold on him. I don't think he's big enough. I think he is going to get crushed defensively on a nightly basis. Atlanta wants to fill seats. They just hired Lloyd Pierce, brand new head coach. You draft what you believe to be a star, and you're going for it.
This is completely a box office pick, Chris. There's no doubt about it. They believe that that's a box office pick. We have talked about over the years about Atlanta as the Magic are on the board. We have talked about how Atlanta wants to make it a destination as we go to the commissioner, Adam Silver, with the Magic pick.
With the 6th pick in the 2018 NBA Draft, the Orlando Magic select Mohamed Bamba from the University of Texas.
Bamba is the most physically intriguing prospect in this draft. 7'1", 7'10", wingspan. Really light on his feet, blocks shots, switches screens, vacuums rebounds, can also step out and shoot the 3-ball, but not the toughest prospect in this draft, a little bit light in the lower body, and needs to play with a more consistent motor to live up to his sky-high potential.
So Mo Bamba going to the Orlando Magic, a 7'10 wingspan will be the longest in the NBA this upcoming season. The last three players taken in the top 5 from Texas, Tristan Thompson, Kevin Durant, LaMarcus Aldridge, but here at 6 is Mo Bamba. I can see it now, a 9-year-old Nick Friedel rooting for this Magic team in the Sunshine State with an Evan Fournier jersey. 6 straight years of no playoffs under 500. And you think that this is good now? I mean, think about Steve Clifford, his stress issues. Now he's going to be coaching this Orlando Magic team.
with a bunch of guys who still can't shoot. The Magic are another dumpster fire, as Chris discussed with Atlanta. But, Hoodie, what it means in the short term for the Bulls and their fans, this leaves the door open for Wendell Carter Jr. This is a guy that the Bulls have been high on since he came in here a couple weeks ago. They love the way he worked out. They like the interview process they went through with him. I think he can fit with Lauri Markkanen, and I believe that this is a guy that if they were going to stay in this spot, they were going to be very, very happy with if he landed there, and it looks like he's going to.
Chris, a quick before we jump the gun, because the Bulls are on the clock here, but let's just a quick primer on the Orlando Magic. They have Aaron Gordon. They have Jonathan Isaac. Again, those two are promising defensively, but, again, they need offense. Can Mo Bamba fill the bill?
Well, and not only offense, he's going to have to develop that jump shot in a game because he's developed it in this draft process. He didn't show this in Big 12 play. And the thing to kind of think with Mo Bamba is elite defensive ability. That should help the back line for the Orlando Magic because their defense has been bad as of late. If we shift our focus on the Chicago Bulls coming up, you know, you're going to get one of the players that you were hoping would fall to you, either it being Wendell Carter Jr., Michael Porter, or any of the guys that fall behind you, a Kevin Kevin Knox, any of these guys who are there. Wojnarowski is suggesting that the Bulls are zeroing in on Wendell Carter, so it looks like that will be the pick. A solid, good pick for the Chicago Bulls if that's what happens here. And I think if you look at the way things have happened, it's unbelievable to me that the Hawks have taken Trae Young at number three. If we look back a year from now, 2 years from now, that's going to be the shocking mark of the top 10 that we're going to look back on. Right? I mean, right. And if we look at it. So the way that has shaken out and what the Bulls have in front of them, they're going to get a guy they wanted.
So about 3:30 left on the clock for Chicago to make their pick. So what officially, Nick, what do you think it's going to be? Do you believe it's going to be?
I believe it's going to be Wendell Carter Jr. in your hoodie. And I want to stress this to fans who are maybe upset about what's going to come down in the next few minutes. I believe that this is more than just a safe pick. I believe Wendell Carter Jr. next year can come in. He's going to get a chance to play. The Bulls have plenty of holes on the roster to fill. And he can come in and make an impact early. Is he going to ever be the star that so many fans wanted coming out of this draft? Chris, we'll see. You can't say no on draft night. There's just that you haven't seen much so far that would lead you to believe that he's going to turn into a 20-plus and 10 guy maybe down the line. The thing that I like about Carter's game when I was able to watch Duke throughout the year is that he was able to shoot it, and he can defend. He's going to need to improve, of course, in all areas, but he has an all-around game now that he'll be able to build upon.
Chris, there's quality there on the board for seven. Whoever the Bulls want to take, they should be able to get a quality player.
Do you guys put any positive spin in the fact that he took more of a back seat to Marvin Bagley throughout the season at Duke? Because I think if you break down what he's done, the numbers don't really necessarily match that star-level potential as you're talking about, Nick. But a lot of scouts do point to the fact that his catch-and-shoot, his ability to play defense, his ability to step out off of a pick-and-roll and to shoot the open three-point shot with flow, all of these things that Wendell Carter Jr. can do, he just didn't show it enough at Duke because he was allowing someone else to take all the shots and to play down low. So I'm wondering, like, how do you guys take that and take that piece of information, what you see on tape, and turn it into, can he be a number one on a team? Probably not, right? But if he's along with Markkanen, does that work?
It's a fascinating conversation that we'll now have likely for months and months before the season begins, guys. But what struck me and something that Chris just said there, when Wendell Carter Jr. was in Chicago, he made it a point to say, hey, look, I don't think the guys on this Duke roster get enough credit for what they can be because this team is so loaded with talent year after year. When you listen to some of his other Duke teammates, Gary Trent Jr., Grayson Allen, at that draft combine, they all had the same type of message, which was, hey, they don't know, the league does not know how good this kid can be. And that was Wendell Carter Jr. So the Bulls are clearly banking on him developing at a higher clip than we saw when he was with Coach K in college. But, you know, on so many levels, for so many years, this fits what the Bulls like to do on draft night. A guy who can come in, who can really contribute early, who came from a strong program. But I think the difference with Carter is he has a lot more talent now than we're used to seeing their picks before.
All is quiet here at the Advocate Center as the Bulls have less than 30 seconds to make their selection at number 7. As you're listening to the 2018 NBA Draft Show here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Apple. I'm Chris Black and Nick Friedel, John the Hood with you as we await the Bulls pick. Bulls have two picks, one at 7 and one at 22. And there's a number of players there are that the Bulls could be able to select. A lot of conversation the last few weeks about Michael Porter and whether or not that is someone that the Bulls could look at. Whether it's Kevin Knox, several quality players still on the board from Kentucky. Kevin Knox and Gilgeous Alexander, both from Kentucky, who I saw in person. So plenty of quality there for the Bulls. We'll see what happens here.
And if they take a big, the one thing I would also add is we know as Bulls fans, the number one thing this team needs is shooting. They were one of the worst teams in shooting in all the league last year. They were 29th in offensive efficiency. This team needs an upgrade on offense. Will Wendell Carter Jr., if he's the pick, be that upgrade? I'm not sure if he will be. He will be a solid piece, but think about the needs for the Bulls.
Here's the commissioner with the Bulls pick.
We have an early trade to announce. The Atlanta Hawks trade the draft rights to Luka Doncic
the third pick to the Dallas Mavericks for the draft rights to Trae Young, the fifth pick, and a future first-round pick. And now, with the seventh pick in the 2018 NBA Draft, the Chicago Bulls select Wendell Carter Jr. from Duke University.
Carter is one of the safest prospects in this draft. He checks a lot of boxes at 6'10", 250 pounds, can score on the block with a variety of moves, can space it to three, can pass, can rebound, and also protects the rim. But questions about his long-term upside: he's not all that explosive or quick laterally and needs to improve his ability to defend in space.
The Wendell Carter era has begun here for the Chicago Bulls as Wendell Carter Jr., now with the Chicago Bulls. It's what we speculated, and it is true. Wendell Carter from Duke, 13.5 points a game, 9 rebounds, shooting 56% from the field. The first Duke player since Shane Battier in 98-99 to shoot better than 50% from the field, 40% from three-point range, and 70% from the foul line. He had 16 double-doubles last season, second most by Duke freshman all-time, trailing only his teammate Marvin Bagley III. You also want to point this out as far as the most double-doubles by a freshman in Duke history: Marvin Bagley, 22, Wendell Carter Jr., 16. And Chris, you speculated and talked a little bit about Bagley and Carter on the floor together at Duke and how Carter had to take a back seat. Well, someone had to be the man. It's Bagley, but Carter's right behind him.
Absolutely. And, you know, he excelled when the ball was given to him. He has soft hands on the catch through tough passing lanes in the lane on dump-offs and the pick-and-roll. So he's a guy that the Bulls can use in that pick-and-roll. He's also good coming from the down pin up towards the three-point line for that pop three-point shot, something we saw the Bulls do a lot with Lauri Markkanen and Robin Lopez this year. So wondering how that will work with Markkanen as we go forward. And really, Nick, if we look at the player that Wendell Carter Jr. is, and we heard on the bio piece there, you know, think of names like Al Horford, Antonio McDice. Those are the type of body type and players that people in the league are comparing Wendell Carter Jr. to.
No question. And guys, for years we've been doing these shows, and especially since Fred Hoiberg came to Chicago, you just wondered, is the roster right for what Fred wants to run, the Hoy ball? We still haven't seen it consistently, certainly in the last couple of years, but there were flashes of it last season when everybody was healthy and Lauri Markkanen was doing his thing alongside Chris Dunn. Now you add a guy like Wendell Carter. Chris, you mentioned some of the pick and pops that they're going to run. With those two on the floor, they are going to be able to stretch things out. And I think another key, as far as the Bulls conversation goes, by not taking a Trae Young, by not going after Luka Doncic, we're going to find out if that was a big mistake over time. What it does in the short term is it gives Chris Dunn some peace of mind in saying, hey, you're still the guy. We still think we can build around you. And now alongside Carter and alongside Markkanen, and you decide what you're going to do with Zach LaVine as a restricted free agent this summer, you have a group of guys that if they continue to stay healthy and play well, can grow up together.
And when you go shopping in free agency, now the target for the Chicago Bulls will be small forward. Right, going forward like that, that is the key piece. Because now if you re-sign LaVine, you have Chris Dunn, you have two guys on the post in the block down low, now you need that wing player on the perimeter to kind of push this team over the hump.
So Wendell Carter Jr., the newest Chicago Bull, and we have it for you right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app, along with Chris Bleck and Nick Friedell, Jonathan Hood with you. The Bulls' next pick will be 22 in the first round. Let's hear more about Wendell Carter Jr.
Former Illinois superstar and Illini radio analyst Deion Thomas.
I am a big fan of Wendell Carter, and I'm a big fan of Carter because of his ability to step in, not worry about, and you mentioned his toughness, not worry about getting there, getting bumped around. He likes to, you know, the games I saw him play this year, he likes to get in there and lay a little wood on people, put a little beef on people, but yet still has that really soft touch to be able to shoot the ball from the outside. I'll say this, if it wasn't for Marvin Bagley, I think Carter would have averaged close to a double-double, 20 and 10 or this year as well. He just would have had more touches.
UIC Flames men's basketball coach Steve McClain.
He has a physical presence, and he moves really well. He's got a good skill level. He can shoot it. He has a good feel for the game, just watching him work out. And you can tell there's a high basketball IQ. His upside is unbelievable when you think about what he could be 2 or 3 years from now.
Illinois State men's assistant basketball coach Brendan Mullins.
He's just a little more of your true big man, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the game has just changed so much, like I keep talking about, where, you know, five guys out and spreading the court. And, I mean, it's almost become, if you probably can get switched and have a good post-up game, the NBA needs that again a little bit. Mm-hmm. Because of the way teams are switching and daring people to throw the ball inside, and the post moves aren't what they used to be. But, you know, I do think, again, he's another talented player. I do agree with a little bit with what Bagley said, that, you know, all those Duke guys could really perform well in the draft. I mean, that was a talented, talented freshman class they had.
So the thoughts there. Let's go to the commissioner with the Cavs pick.
18 NBA draft, the Cleveland Cavaliers select Colin Sexton from the University of Alabama.
Sexton is a fiery competitor who plays both ends of the floor, willing to pick up 94 feet and agitate opposing point guards, loves to get downhill and pick and roll, puts pressure on the rim in the open court, but questions about his ability to shoot it consistently from NBA 3, as well as his ability to make his teammates better in the half court. Doesn't have elite size at a shade under 6'2", but the most competitive prospect in this draft.
So Colin Sexton, the point guard from Alabama, goes to the Cavs. Chris, you know, again, this pick may be the new face of the Cavs franchise. Who knows what LeBron James is going to do in free agency as all of downtown awaits to find out whether or not they're going to board up their businesses with no championships in sight. You know, the soup-throwing incident, the late-game blunder, all part of the Cavs' issues this past season. But Colin Sexton now part of the Cavs mix.
If Colin Sexton was a bigger player, Jonathan, he would have gone earlier in the draft, because 19 points per game, he gives all the effort in the world, and he wants to beat you down. He will go court. He'll get the rebound, go court, and to the other. He will go, and he will take it right at you. And we saw it multiple times where he seeked out a defender who couldn't guard him, and he took the ball himself to the hole. And he's the type of player you want to watch and want to root for. I wonder if that's the type of player LeBron James wants to play with.
You know, time will tell on that. And coming up next will be the hapless New York Knicks. We'll find out what the Knicks do as the 2018 NBA Draft Show continues after this on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Live from the Advocate Center in Chicago, it's the 2018 NBA Draft on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
The commissioner is ready for the Knicks pick. Here it is.
2018 NBA Draft, the New York Knicks select Kevin Knox from the University of Kentucky.
Knox is one of the most intriguing combo forward prospects in this draft. Only 18 years old, 6'9" with a 9-foot standing reach, can shoot it on the move, can put the ball on the deck, and has some potential as a versatile defender, but needs to get tougher, needs to add more value on the defensive glass, and doesn't quite make his teammates better at this stage of his development.
So Kevin Knox to the New York Knicks. I got a question for you guys. Who was the leading scorer for the Knicks last year?
Porzingis?
Kristaps Porzingis, 1,088 points, and he tore his ACL in February and only played 48 games. This is the irrelevant New York Knicks. 3 playoff appearances in the last 14 years. The last time the Knicks were in the playoffs, Mike Woodson was the coach of the year, and he also had hair. So now you're looking at playmaking.
Was he going to that Just for Men yet? Was he on that go-to?
Yeah. So playmaking, wings, two-way players, anything for this Knicks franchise. What a disaster. All right, Nick?
I'm going to make it, my man.
What a disaster here. But Kevin Knox, who I saw, guys, in person when I was there with UIC, saw the Kentucky team. Knox is an imposing player, but still needs some work, right, Chris?
Yeah, skilled finisher around the rim. He can display pick and roll scoring upside. He can pull and pop as well. He has flashing of shooting ability that when you look at him play, he just jumps raw raw offensive scoring power off the board. And he led Kentucky in scoring, co-freshman of the year with Colin Sexton in the SEC last season. So he's a player that I think has the upside that I'm kind of surprised as this whole draft process has gone through. He's so young and so raw. I'm kind of surprised that he fell to this spot, 9 for the New York Knicks. Many were talking about his upside potential. And you look at the way you get these guys into your organization, your ability to develop them going forward. Kind of shocked that 9 for Kevin Knox, but he is a really nice pick for the New York Knicks, a scorer, a wing that can help them in the future.
Well, that certainly speaks to the depth of the NBA draft in the top 10 for sure. And Nick, dating back to his time in Memphis, John Calipari has produced a top 10 NBA draft pick in each of the last 10 seasons. No other coach is even close to that. And once again, Calipari comes through.
Calipari, who was shown on the ESPN television broadcast hoodie already with Spike Lee, so I think he might have known a little something he was sharing with Spike. But look, Cal has a way, and you talk to any of the guys that played for Cal, I remember talking with Derrick Rose about this a lot over the years. He knows how to get guys into the league, and he knows how to make them at their best once they get there. A lot of guys have had success. Knox figures, as Chris mentioned, to be able to help that young core of New York. I mean, so many years, guys, we've sat here on this show, and you think, what the hell are the Knicks doing? And I like this pick. I think that he's a guy who would get his chance early on. David Fizdale, of course, just got hired recently as the head coach. He is going to give his guys in a year where nobody's going to expect anything from the Knicks because you're not sure if Kristaps Porzingis will even be able to play this season as he comes back from the ACL injury. He's going to get his chance early on.
You're listening to ESPN 1000, the ESPN app, along with Chris Bleck and Nick Friedel, Jonathan Hood with you, broadcasting live from the Advocate Center here in Chicago. For those of you just tuning in, Wendell Carter Jr. was the pick for the Chicago Bulls at 7. The next pick will be at 22. As far as this conversation that we are having here, guys, I have no problem with the pick because here's the thing. You know, look at where the Bulls are. The Bulls already have a core established. They're hoping that Wendell Carter Jr. could be part of that. I don't see bust potential. I do see more upside with Wendell Carter because you need someone that can be active around the boards, the ability to be able to rebound, defend, long arms. He has all those things. He's a prototype of some of the draft picks that we have seen here in the top 7, top 8. Not saying that he is, but he definitely fits the prototype, Chris.
Jonathan, when you say bust potential, isn't that something that we don't really assess enough when drafting and talking about drafts, whether the sport it is, but especially in the NBA? Because the one thing you want to consider is the fact that you have the ability to have a player actually produce for you on the floor. You know, the risk management of drafting a Wendell Carter Jr. is very low, right? Because you know that he's going to show up, he's going to work hard. The first thing he said to Maria Taylor on ESPN television after he was drafted was, I'm going to work really hard for the Chicago Bulls. Hey, that's great. That's fantastic. That's what we need in Chicago.
Absolutely.
Now, you know, and it's kind of the same old story under the context of, like, Taj Gibson. He was the perfect Chicago Bull.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wasn't a top 10 pick. He showed up, though, every single game and worked his butt off. And if that's the type of player that you have in Wendell Carter Jr. with a better skill set, I think the Bulls did a really good job with this pick.
The Philadelphia 76ers are on the clock. They have 6 picks, the most of any team in the NBA draft, 10, 26, 38, 39, 56, 60. That's not the lottery numbers. That's just the picks for the 76ers. The Sixers went from 75-253 over the course of 4 seasons to 52-30 in the number 3 seed in the East. Markelle Fultz and Brian Colangelo sagas, it didn't really make the best of glorious headlines, but all things considered, the process really did pay off. Be careful, Colangelo might be trolling you on Twitter right now. The process is working, but could we see Philadelphia and Boston at the top of the East next year? Kind of like old times, and again, with this young core already established, Sixers are trying to increase that right here today.
Yeah, and Hoodie, this could be a spot for Mikal Bridges. You know he'd love that coming from Villanova. He can shoot it. Let's see what the Sixers do as we go back up to Adam Silver.
With the 10th pick in the 2018 NBA Draft, the Philadelphia 76ers select Mikal Bridges from Villanova University.
At 6'7" with a 7'2" wingspan, Bridges is a prototype 3-and-D caliber wing, has two national championships to his name, is going to be able to impact the game at the NBA level from year one, but there are questions about his upside, his ability to score off the dribble, and he does get beat off the bounce a little more than you'd expect given his reputation as a defender.
So Mikal Bridges from Villanova is, well, knows Philadelphia very well. Villanova now going to the Philadelphia 76ers. And Chris, 17.7 points a game, 5.3 rebounds, shooting 51% from the field, a member of two national championship teams, tread on the tires, but a quality player. The 76ers have someone with a little experience with that young core.
Your prototypical 3-and-D prospect, and he is a little bit older, one of the older players in this draft, so you know that he's going to be able to step on the floor and contribute immediately, and that's what the 76ers need. They need a guy who can shoot from distance. He's an effective catch-and-shoot player from NBA range. He has the body control to get his shot up in traffic as well. He is a player that likes to attack with purpose on a straight-line drive, get to the rim, do all types of things, and he can play defense. He's going to be perfect playing alongside Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. This is exactly what the 76ers needed. This is one of the names that were linked to the Chicago Bulls early in this draft process. And I said, you know, that's a guy with not a lot of upside. I'm not sure I would do that. You need to put a guy like this on a team that's ready to win now. And the 76ers are ready to win now.
He's going to be able to stretch the floor. And I think that's what we've seen throughout the league. Now you need guys all over the place. But Hoodie, Chris, when you're playing with Joel Embiid and you have him down low when he is getting the rebounds and doing what he needs to do, if he can kick it out and create even more space for Ben Simmons to operate, I think this pick is really going to work. And if he can amp himself up a little bit defensively, he can really give them a boost, to your point, early on for a team that really believes that they can contend for a title in the next couple of years.
Wendell Carter Jr. going to 7 to the Bulls. And Mikal Bridges with the 76ers. The Hornets are on the clock. We will tell you what's going on with the Hornets coming up next as you're listening to the 2018 NBA Draft on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Live from the Advocate Center in Chicago, it's the 2018 NBA Draft on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. With Nick Friedell and Chris Black, here's Jonathan Hood.
With the 11th pick in the 2018 NBA Draft, the Charlotte Hornets select Shai Gilgeous-Alexander from Hamilton, Canada and the University of Kentucky.
Gilgeous-Alexander has as high an upside as any point guard in this draft, fits the modern game with his versatility at 6'6", 7-foot wingspan, slithery to the rim, has a handful of finesse finishes in the paint, but he's not the most dynamic off-the-dribble shooter, so scouts question his ability to score prolifically at the NBA level in the half court.
So the Charlotte Hornets make their pick with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander from Kentucky. And when it comes to Charlotte Hornets, Michael Jordan was recently quoted as saying, I'm just kidding, Jordan has nothing to say about that team. Just kidding. But maybe new GM Mitch Kupchak does. Maybe he's got something to say about this team, because maybe the Hornets will try to retool their team with a different image. Three playoff appearances the last 14 years. The Dwight Howard resurrection got over like a fart in church in Charlotte. What? And so then you have Kemba Walker. That picture can be found on the basketball abyss in Charlotte. So at least now with Alexander from Kentucky, a nice player for, I think, Jordan and the Hornets.
Gilgeous-Alexander, super active off the ball defender. He plays with fire and energy, which is a plus when you look at all these prospects, knowing that he comes in with great energy all the time.
Sounds like you should be a Bull.
Yes,
or Chicago player.
Yeah, try hard guy, try hard Bulls.
He's got the fire and passion, Alexander.
Nick's favorite style. Great lateral quickness with good fundamentals. He's a guy that recently, late in the draft process, really started to rise on draft boards. And I think a lot of people are talking in the top 10 range. He goes 11 to the Hornets. Now you have a combination. You'll have to see with the Hornets what you get out of Malik Monk, a player I really liked last year, disappointed this year for the Hornets. Now you have a backcourt going forward. What else can you do? You have Batum, a couple other pieces for the Charlotte Hornets. They're really a tough team to kind of judge going forward, because can they sign a free agent? Can they get a star out of the two that they drafted in the last 2 years?
There were also guys making a coaching change. Steve Clifford out, James Borrego in. this was a team that was supposed to take that proverbial next step last season. It didn't happen. So can Gilgeous-Alexander become the guy who helps them into some next step? We'll see. I just don't like the makeup of that Charlotte team in the sense that I don't think they're going to ever reach some kind of peak because, Chris, to your point, I don't think they're ever going to be able to land any kind of major free agent there. So you're banking on all these picks to work out and play well together. That is a major stretch.
So before we go too far with the Hornets conversation, Adrian Wojnarowski reporting the Clippers have acquired Gilgeous-Alexander in a trade with the Hornets. Wojnarowski saying that the Clippers will send the 12th pick and 2 second-round picks to the Hornets for Gilgeous-Alexander.
So coming into the draft, the Clippers had 12 and 13 back-to-back here, but you're saying that there has been a switch here where the Clippers and Doc Rivers will go with Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yes.
Okay, so, you know, Chicago's own Doc Rivers, baby! He wants the Clippers back in the postseason. The Clippers' starting lineup for Game 1, Patrick Beverley, is it Tadosic? Is that one of the players, Chris? You remember
Milos.
Him? Milos Tadosic. Gallinari, Blake Griffin, and DeAndre Jordan. So then Game 82 is Austin Rivers, is Thornwell, Wesley Johnson, Tobias Harris, and Jordan. I mean, think about what they went through. The reason why that Doc Rivers even had some Coach of the Year votes is because they developed an NBA-high 37 starting lineups throughout the season, and yet they still finished 2 games over .500 in a very tough West. That's some coaching, that's some maneuvering for the Clippers for them to even get that close in the Western Conference.
Look, when you watch the Clippers, the issue for them, Hoodie, is going to be the same thing that it is for all the teams on the fringe there. They have talented pieces, but what is going to get them over that hump into not only a playoff spot, but going up top potentially to make a push at Golden State? I've always liked Doc Rivers. I'm glad that there's some separation between coach and front office now.
Yeah.
But they need a star. They need a couple stars. And right now, that's a team that they are the Bulls from a few years ago, the try-hard bunch that doesn't have the pieces they need to get to that next level.
So you heard it here first, Chris. So Kawhi going to the Clippers.
There you go.
You know, and the key to all of this is next season, the Clippers still have a lot of cap money on their salary, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But the following year, 2019-2020, right now the Clippers are one of the teams. They are 28th in the amount of money already dedicated to 2 years from now. So they are going to have an abundance of money to spend in two seasons. Steve Ballmer doesn't want to be the second fiddle in Los Angeles going forward. They're going to get their own arena, and it's going to be an arms race between the Lakers and the Clippers going forward. Who can sign better free agents?
Let me throw a name out there for a lot of Chicago fans listening at the moment. Whether it's Clippers, Lakers.
Can I guess?
Yeah.
Is he currently playing for Tom Thibodeau in Minnesota?
Yes, he is. Butler.
I was going to go Derrick Rose.
Jimmy Butler. Oh, boy. Let's go back up to Brooklyn.
I got a clip through.
In the 2018 NBA draft, the LA Clippers select Miles Bridges from Michigan State University.
Bridges is a physical, explosive 2-foot leaper who's really competitive on the defensive end. He's going to be able to body big combo forwards and then stay with smaller guards as well on the perimeter. He can shoot it off the catch, but not all that dynamic with the ball. A little bit bulky in shot creation situations. There are questions about his long-term upside at the NBA level.
So one Bridges goes off the board, now another one. Michigan State's Miles Bridges with this pick. Now, how does this work, Chris? Because this is the 12th pick, Miles Bridges, for the Clippers.
So Miles Bridges will be traded to Charlotte for Gilgeous-Alexander. So basically, Clippers and the Hornets are swapping picks here. So Miles Bridges will be a Charlotte Hornet. So if we kind of look at the way that team is constructed, will Frank the Tank be allowed to play with Miles Bridges down low?
He's hilarious. He's hilarious. Just ask him.
Yeah, right. You know, Bridges, explosive, 17 points per game, 7 rebounds per. He can do a lot of shot creation on his own. And when you kind of look at the way Michigan State played at the end of last season, the way they went out in the tournament, it was a question about the talent that Tom Izzo had. Were they playing up to their potential? Was it coaching? What was the problem with Michigan State? Because you saw Miles Bridges and you saw Jaren Jackson Jr. not really live up to the hype when you got to postseason play for the Michigan State Spartans.
So, just on the surface, don't you think that the Clippers have the better player? Between Alexander and Bridges, who do you think is the better player? I think it's Alexander. What would you say?
I would go with probably Bridges. Just because I think he can add more defensively for your team, and you're going to have to look at a guy who's going to work on the perimeter, guarding 4, 5, maybe some threes. Then you're going to look at a guy that can also get his own shot off. At that size, I mean, right, he's 6'6", 220. I think he's a guy that could definitely give you some perimeter help, don't you think?
I don't. See, here's the thing.
It really is a toss-up. It's a good question.
Thank you. So the answer to that question, by the way, is yes, I agree with you. But here's the thing. When it comes to us breaking down these players from what we saw in college, right, when they get to some of these bad teams, and Charlotte would be one of them, right, we may never see his full potential being with Charlotte. Ask Kemba Walker what it's like to be able to be in basketball abyss in Charlotte, North Carolina. We know he's a good player, but he can't just be the only guy that can make a difference. See, I just think that Alexander, watching him up close in Kentucky, I just think that he's a terrific player. He's not going to be just some plug-and-play guy. I just think that he can really be a difference maker for that team. But we'll see. Yeah, but it all depends on the system and the team that he's on when you see a Bridges or an Alexander.
Now, something to note as we go through all of these picks, as 13, the Clippers are on the clock with their second pick of back-to-back picks, even though they traded the first one at 12 to the Hornets. Michael Porter Jr. has fallen. He has not been picked yet. There was talk and speculation by us in the media that the Bulls should maybe at some point try and move back into the teens to get a guy that they need for the perimeter. Would you have any thought as a Bulls fan or as someone, you know, working behind the scenes to try and move back into the teens off of 22 to try and get Michael Porter Jr. because he's fallen, or since he's fallen, you stay away from that?
Chris, Sylvie brought this up before the show began, and my response to that would be, if you're sure, and the Bulls would be from a medical standpoint because it was their doctors that did the exam a couple weeks ago. If you're sure that back is okay, then yeah, you make that push. The issue for me, as I have talked to plenty of people around the league about Porter's future, is if you have a back issue this early on, for me, guys, I'm staying away. I am flatly staying away. I know that a lot of people believe that he may turn into a star. Maybe he does, and good for him if he does. If it's me, though, guys, and I'm rolling the dice with the future of my franchise potentially hanging in the balance on a pick or a move that I would have to make to acquire the pick to select him, I am not rolling the dice on a guy who this young has this kind of back issue. And how many times have we seen it in the league? Once you start having one back issue, whether it's the back or something else, it always comes back to haunt that player.
Well, it goes to your franchise and the ability to develop your health, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because like, if you don't trust the ability to develop the core and to develop the health long term, then yeah, you stay away. But if you're a team like Phoenix, who's had excellent history developing older players, Grant Hill, Shaquille O'Neal, guys like that, later in their years, you're okay taking on a back issue because you know you can fix it.
Well, we're under a minute here for the Clippers pick here, their second pick, as Chris mentioned, 12 and 13 in the first round of the draft. After that, it'll be Denver, Washington, and Phoenix, as you're listening to the 2018 NBA Draft Show here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app, along with Nick Friedel and Chris Black, Jonathan Hood with you. The Clippers, I'm glad that you brought out the Clippers and talking about the arms race there in Los Angeles, because, you know, we continue to hear, well, LeBron wants to maybe go to Los Angeles, but, you know, we just assume it's always Lakers. But the Clippers, because of the money that they've doled out and the commitment to winning under Ballmer, they want to be able to compete too. As you mentioned, they have their own stadium coming up, and I think that they want to be able to establish an identity. The Clippers were in the playoffs 6 years in a row before this Chris Paul Dallas team. And so they want to be able to establish something for themselves. Nothing wrong with that at all. I think free agency will tell a great story about what else they can add, speaking of the Clippers, what they can add to that team because, hey, they don't want to be the second team in town. They've done that to the majority of their franchise, whether San Diego or Los Angeles.
The Clippers all of a sudden become such a major, major attraction. And to Chris's point about the cap, you've got all this space now. Let's see what they do with pick 13. Let's go back to Adam Silver.
In the 2018 NBA draft, the LA Clippers select Jerome Robinson from Boston College.
Runner-up ACC Player of the Year, Robinson, extremely skilled on the perimeter. He can shoot it on the move. He can play on the ball. He can play off the ball. Really effective operating off pin downs. Not the toughest defender and needs to improve his ability to finish in traffic. Not overly long or freaky explosive for his position.
So Jerome Robinson, the shooting guard from Boston College at 13, this is not a reach. If you listen to what Fran Fraschilla has said about Robinson, he believes that this is a player, again, not necessarily overly dynamic, not necessarily a star, but just a nice piece for a team, Chris. Jerome Robinson, the shooting guard from Boston College, part of this Clippers mix.
Yeah, 6'5", 188 for Boston College. Nice size as a combo guard. Productive and efficient junior season, averaging 20.8 points per game with a 61.2 true shooting percentage. So, I mean, this guy can flat out shoot and score. He's 6'5", 188. So, you know, playing the point guard slash shooting guard role at Boston College, seeing him translate for the Los Angeles Clippers, now they have someone who can shoot to go along with their backcourt of defense with Patrick Beverley.
So coming up, it'll be the Denver Nuggets and the Washington Wizards. Don't forget, the Chicago Bulls have already made their number seven selection, Wendell Carter Jr. They'll be number 22. We'll have that coming up for you in our next half hour. You're listening to the 2018 NBA Draft Show on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Now back to our coverage of the 2018 NBA Draft on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app with Nick Friedell and Chris Black. Here's Jonathan Hood.
The 2018 NBA Draft continues from the Advocate Center here in Chicago, along with UIC Flames color analyst Chris Black and ESPN.com's Nick Friedell, Jonathan Hood with you. This portion of our NBA draft coverage is brought to you by Country Thunder, the premier four-day country festival happening July 19th through the 22nd in Twin Lakes, Wisconsin. Go to CountryThunder.com to buy your tickets. The Denver Nuggets are on the clock, and if you're just joining us, the Bulls made their selection at 7. They take Wendell Carter Jr. from Duke, and so we're waiting for number 22 for the Bulls. They have two picks, 7 and 22, so we'll keep our eyes on that. The Denver Nuggets are on the clock. I really want the Nuggets to be in the playoffs last year. However, the Nuggets at times look really ready to take a step, rolling out a very talented roster to compete with the league's best. Other times, they were a train wreck, particularly on the road. They won 15 of their 41 games on the road. As we go to the commissioner, Adam Silver with the Denver pick.
With the 14th pick in the 2018 NBA Draft, the Denver Nuggets select Michael Porter Jr. from the University of Missouri.
Porter is the wild card in this draft. 6'11", can shoot it on the move. One of the most accomplished prospects in his high school class, but missed almost the entire season after having back surgery. Questions about his ability to play with others, his toughness. When healthy, if he hits, he could end up being a top five talent from this draft.
So the Nuggets, one of the better teams in the Western Conference, again, falling short of making the playoffs this past season. They select Michael Porter Jr., getting him out of the green room, Chris, at number 14.
Yeah, he's got a sweet shooting stroke, one of the best shooting prospects that we have in the draft, especially for his body type. And the thing to kind of look at this with the Denver Nuggets, they're a team that's a one piece away. And if this turns out to be a healthy Michael Porter Jr., and this guy really is one of the top five players in this class, the number one player in this class, like we said last summer heading into this next year, I mean, how about the Denver Nuggets lucking out and getting Michael Porter Jr.? Now, he has to stay healthy, but really, he has all the tools to be an elite scorer in this league and really make a difference for the Denver Nuggets, who kind of are that team that has one piece away from being an elite team in the Western Conference.
I like this move for Denver, guys, because if you have Jokic, who a lot of the casual NBA fans don't see as much because he's out in Denver, that guy is a beast, and you pair him with Gary Harris, and you have the core of a team that can really do something soon. If Porter pans out, this is a great, great, great pick for Denver. And you know what, guys, in the middle of the first round, right about, I like it either way, because if it doesn't, you're sitting there going, all right, well, we swung, we missed, we tried. If you're a little higher in the draft, like the Bulls, I understand why they would pass, because those back issues are the talk of the NBA right now. But if you're the Nuggets and you have this young core, I think this was the right move for them to make.
All right, the Wizards are on the clock as you're listening to the 2018 NBA Draft here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app, along with Chris Black, John the Hood with you. Glad that you're with us. As we found out, as the Wizards are on the clock, that the Chicago Bulls took Wendell Carter Jr. Let's recap that just for a moment as we get ready for the Wizards pick. But the Bulls, to me, they selected someone I think is a solid pick for them. We already know the core that's established. We just need to see them on the floor to find out how good it is with Dunn, Levine, to find out how Markkanen can play with those two dynamic players. But I think, Nick, looking at the pick that they chose, I think Wendell Carter can fit in nicely with Chicago.
Look, I like this pick. I really do, guys. I know that fans wanted to see a star. I really believe that if Carter pans out the way that the Bulls clearly think he can, and some of his Duke teammates and coaches believe he can, I think this is the type of pick that Markkanen was last year. Markkanen got his opportunities early on, and you thought, all right, maybe he's a little better than everybody expected. Wendell Carter can shoot it a little bit from the outside. He's got a post-up game. He can expand, and he's going to get plenty of chances in Fred Hoiberg's offense. If he pairs with Markkanen the way the Bulls believe he can, I think people will look back on this pick and go, yep, they got this one right.
Yeah, if you're going to compare Wendell Carter to other pro prospects, you're looking at an Al Horford, Antonio McDice, maybe a Mo Spates, younger years. You know, and like Nick, what you said is, yeah, he is probably going to pan out because he's going to give you a good effort. He's going to do all the right things, and he's a solid player. And at seven, based on the way the draft board fell, you were not going to get that superstar player at seven. This is the best possible situation for what the Bulls had in front of them. They took the best player available. That's Wendell Carter Jr. Now you pair him with Markkanen, and you hope that these two can grow together and create something for the Chicago Bulls in the front court. Now you got to figure out the backcourt, because we've really seen in this day and age in the NBA, the backcourt is where it all happens.
Michael Porter Jr., who we talked about, especially in our pre-draft coverage, talking about Michael Porter Jr., who had the lower back surgery on November 21st after playing 2 minutes in the Missouri opener, only played 53 minutes in college. Let's hear what people believe that Michael Porter Jr. can be on the next level.
Former Illinois superstar and Illini radio analyst Deion Thomas.
He's probably one of the most skilled players. He probably shoots the ball best outside of maybe the kid that plays for Barcelona. So I don't know if it will hurt him very much at all. I personally had a herniated disc, and I had to have surgery on it. I returned to playing, and here I am sitting in my chair at 47 years old doing an interview with you, and I still have not had any issues with my back. So they're going to send him through a battery of tests to make sure that he's fine. But if it's anything like mine, I do not foresee this causing any issues for him at all.
DePaul head men's basketball coach Dave Lado.
Two things come to mind. One is a back is a really, really delicate thing. You know, if you have an ankle issue or you have an ACL, those are pretty definitive as to what's going on and how to correct it and the time it takes to get back to 100%. A back is different, so that would provide a little bit more concern. The other side of the fence is, you know, and it happens more in football when a guy, you know, Nick Chubb, for instance, he has a devastating knee injury and he can come back from that. Well, if it happened around draft time, well, then the draft stock drops dramatically because, you know, I think there may be some extended issues relative to your injury. And to me, it's just timing. And so the bad timing of Porter's back issues create those kind of concerns. If it happened 2 years ago and he had gotten through it, then obviously we'd be past that. Or if it happens when he gets to the NBA, you know, then they've got to deal with it then. But because it happens in his draft status moment, then it becomes the focal point. If it were any other part of his body, I don't think it would be that much of an issue. But because it's a back, I think there's
qualified reasons to be a little bit more concerned, because back issues could be more lingering. There's enough money on the table to have the best doctors look at him, and if they're not concerned it is to his long-term performances, then I don't think anybody else should be.
So the thoughts there about Michael Porter Jr. as you're listening to the 2018 NBA Draft Show here on ESPN 1000. The Wizards are on the clock. If you want to attribute the Wizards' decline to John Wall missing half the regular season, that's fine, but there's no denying that Washington took a significant step in the wrong direction this season. Even a begging Mike Wilbon can't get LeBron to Chocolate City or make the Wizards better. But the Wizards are that cool band that's just popular around small bars and venues, but just couldn't open up in big arenas. Something's got to give. Either you got to add on, or you've got to go back to square one. You got to do one or the other here, I think, Chris.
They are the prototypical stuck-in-the-middle team in the NBA. On offensive efficiency, they are 14th. On defensive efficiency, they are 15th. They are exactly in the middle. They have a star who they paid a lot of money to, John Wall. They have a second star who they paid a lot of money to in Bradley Beal. And they don't really get you anywhere. They get you to the second round and out, and that's just what you are as the Washington Wizards. Going forward, you got to do more.
And to your point, Hoodie, let's go to Adam Silver and see what
we
the Wizards...
have another trade to announce. The Charlotte Hornets trade the draft rights to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the 11th pick, to the LA Clippers for the draft rights to Miles Bridges, the 12th pick, and two future second-round picks. And with the 15th pick in the 2018 NBA Draft, the Washington Wizards select Troy Brown Jr. from the University of Oregon.
One of the youngest prospects in this draft, Brown has impressive size for a modern forward at 6'7", over 210 pounds, high IQ, does all the little things, high intangible prospect, but not all that dynamic of a scorer in the half court, loses his confidence easily shooting the ball from the perimeter, is going to have to make enough shots in the NBA to keep the defense honest and unlock some of his strengths.
Troy Brown Jr. going to the Washington Wizards. You know, my favorite part of the draft, and Adam Silver is the best commissioner in sports, there's no question about it.
Absolutely.
I like the smile on his face as he gives us information we knew 10 minutes ago, but it just occurred to him because he just got the card. That's the best.
We have another trade.
Hey, guys, we got a trade
all
here.
Right.
Hey, love that. So, Troy, I like his enthusiasm of the card he was just received, even though we knew this 10 minutes ago. So, the freshman guard of Oregon, Troy Brown Jr., 11.3 points a game, 6.2 rebounds, Pac-12 all-freshman team honorable mention last season, a versatile wing with good size and length. And so now the Wizards with another guard. I wonder, is there a forecast of life? Nick, you have something on this? Like a forecast with life without Beal or Wall with Washington?
To your question, Hoodie, before we heard from Adam Silver and the Wizards pick, if I'm looking at what Washington is doing, I'm blowing it up, guys. I am saying this team is not good enough. Chris mentioned the stats where they're just languishing in the middle. Scott Brooks came in, gave them a nice little push early, but you know how much better can you be with the core that you got? I am not a believer in this core with John Wall as the face and Bradley Beal as the second guy. I think they're talented players. I just don't think it's working together. If I'm the Wizards management, their front office, I'm saying to myself, this team, the way it's constructed, is not good enough, and I'd rather be too early on that than too late and not get nearly enough of a return if I wanted to make that move.
I think the move might be possible, but maybe not the players that you guys mentioned. What about Otto Porter?
I like Otto Porter, don't you?
Is he someone that could be on the move? He signed a big contract last year as well. They have him on the books, big money. You look at Troy Brown Jr., he's 6'5", 6'6". So he could play alongside with Beal and Wall if you want to do something like that. I know, what do you do? You got three guys, you got to move one at least, right?
Between Wall and Beal or Wall, Beal, and Porter?
Yeah, between the three, because what? You're going to go after DeMarcus Cousins in free agency, right, who's coming off of an injury.
Right.
Who we don't know how that's going to go, so he's probably going to want to do like a shorter prove-it-to-me deal because no one's going to give him the max coming off that Achilles tear.
Right.
So, like, how do you reshape this team? Do you move someone like Porter to, like, Portland for, like, McCollum? Is that something you could do? You know, like they've got to do something. I think Troy Brown here being selected at this spot gives them the flexibility now to move one of the three. And it doesn't matter who it is. It's not going to be Wall. Like, who's going to make a blockbuster deal for John Wall? Probably no one. People have value on Beal. People have value on Porter because Porter's ability to stretch the floor, shoot the three. He is exactly what you want in a 3-and-D prospect right now.
How about in the new look east, though? Now,
well, yes. Well, right, in the new look east, once LeBron leaves, they're the fourth best team.
Right. Without LeBron. I mean, like, so if we believe that Philadelphia and Boston are going to be the class of the East, right? Now there's room for 3, 4, 5 here. Like, Milwaukee still is just, you know, nice team, but still struggling to find their identity, right? Still got to find some shooting. All right, so now, you know, you got to find a third, fourth, fifth option here. If Washington can be able to get it right, it's one thing to have two dynamic players in Wall and Beal. And again, Otto Porter is a nice player for them. That third option, you got to be able to find that, identify that quickly here with the East going to be wide open here, especially if LeBron's not part of it.
But there's the issue for Washington and for any team behind them right now, Hoodie, who has this core in place. I don't believe the core can suddenly grow, even without LeBron pushing them in the East, into something they haven't been all along. They've got three talented guys, three big money guys. They're just not good enough together. And it's the worst thing that can happen in pro sports. When you sign a massive contract for a guy for long-term big money, and all of a sudden you say, hey, what's the market for this guy if we were to put him out there on a deal? We mentioned it with John Wall. In theory, John Wall is still a very talented player, but he's had issues within the locker room. He's had issues staying on the floor. If you know he's not your guy long-term, I would make that move now, and I would set yourself up for wherever you're going next.
Well, and that's the problem you're in, because who wants John Wall? I know that he is a very good player, but in today's day and age in the NBA, he doesn't score enough. And what I mean by scoring is he can't shoot from three to the ability that other elite lead point guards can. He can't do what Damian Lillard can do. He can't do what James Harden can do. He ain't Steph. You know, like, you go down the list, at what point do you get to John Wall when you're looking at the best point guards in the league? He's like 12, 13 probably, and when you look at other teams, wouldn't you rather have someone with less age on them and hope they develop into a better player than John Wall if you're developing a team?
Suns are on the clock at 16, along with Colin Cowherd and Nick Friedel, Jonathan Hood with you here on ESPN 1000.
Take that, Baker!
On the ESPN app. Colin being like the Wall basher, but I understand. Well, yeah. I understand your point, though.
You're like, you know what I mean? Like,
because the league, because basketball has changed,
right?
Where the little tiny lead guard is not the guy that's going to get you over the hump. You need more than just two small guards, because it's what we talked about at the beginning. Long and athletic is the theme of the NBA now. Mm-hmm. You're getting, trying to find your own Giannis Antetokounmpo. So totally makes sense. As we wait for the Suns pick again, they have a ton of picks in this NBA draft. The Suns have 116, 31, and 59. The first pick was DeAndre Ayton for the Suns. Again, the last playoff appearance for Phoenix came in 2010, the second longest active drought in the NBA behind the Kings in 2006. It's a good Suns broadcast, too. I mean, it's, you know, they're very happy. They're tan, the Tom Chambers and the
Eddie Johnson. Yeah, it's a shame on League Pass that the team wasn't better, because they are a fun watch,
yeah,
absolutely, right. And especially Devin Booker.
So now let's go to the commissioner, Adam Silver, with the 16th pick with the Phoenix Suns.
With the 16th pick in the 2018 NBA Draft, the Phoenix Suns select Zaire Smith from Texas Tech University.
Wow.
The late blooming Smith is the most explosive leaper in this draft. 1 foot, 2 feet, right foot, left foot, plays above the rim with ease, and extremely competitive on the offensive glass, defends multiple positions, but he played mostly the four at Texas Tech at 6'4" with a 6'10" wingspan, doesn't have much in terms of ball skills, and needs to become more dynamic as a shooter.
So Zaire Smith, you all right?
I am all right.
Okay,
buddy.
Okay. Thought you fell off the track there for a minute.
No, that happens later on.
Okay.
You know, Nick, I know you're excited over Zaire Smith, I mean, so why don't you tell us about the new Phoenix Sun?
Oh, you're setting me up for some failure here. I saw Zaire Smith play once against Florida in the tournament. Why don't you tell us about Zaire Smith?
All right, Jonathan. He is a wing player that is extremely exciting based on his athleticism and his ability to play defense, and he has jump. And when you watch him play, he jumps off the screen, both in alley-oops, getting down the court. He is a player that reminds me a lot of a young J.R. Smith, maybe a Danny Green type player. I like this pick for the Phoenix Suns, someone to play along with Devin Booker in the backcourt.
The Milwaukee Bucks are on the clock. We'll find out what the Bucks will do. And we will hear from Wendell Carter Jr. in a little bit. I know he's going to be able to be talking to the media pretty soon here via speakerphone, because that's always cool. So along with Nick Friedell and Chris Black, Jonathan Hood with
you. You're right, Nick?
Oh, yeah.
We are listening to the 2018 NBA Draft Show here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Now back to our coverage of the 2018 NBA Draft on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app with Nick Friedell and Chris Black. Here's Jonathan Hood.
Glad you're with us here for the 2018 NBA Draft here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. The Milwaukee Bucks are on the clock, and we're waiting for their selection. Don't forget, the Bulls will be choosing at 22. They already have number 7, be Wendell Carter Jr. Speaking of him, I believe he is...
Can you talk about that day, the workout?
All right, now we're going to hear from Wendell Carter Jr. here. In the Q&A.
Right before, I couldn't even sleep. But, I came in, I gave a lot of energy, showcased what how good of a player I am. And, it's just an honor that they were able to select me at 7 and they have faith in me and I'll be the next great player for them.
Find out the next question here, to
Hello?
Carter Jr. Yeah, there we are.
Wendell, one thing you mentioned after your workout here was how much you've been working on your lateral quickness. How much improvement do you feel you've made in that area since your Duke season, and how important is that in today's NBA?
I think I've made a huge improvement in that, and this is some night in and night out. Hello.
We're here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was something I was working on night in and night out. And, I definitely showcased that in the workout. So it definitely paid off all the work, all the lateral, all those different things all paid off for me.
Hey Wendell, you've been labeled a safe pick. What goes through your mind when you hear that, and what does that mean to you?
I've been labeled as what now?
A safe pick.
Oh, yeah, okay. It means a lot. I mean, it just shows that all the work, all the dedication, to playing this game paid off. To say that I'm the safest pick, that I'm going to come in and do what I have to do in order for the team to win, shows that, it just paid off. And they recognize that. The Chicago Bulls recognize it, so I'm excited.
Wendell, can you talk about playing down the line here with Lauri Markkanen and how you feel maybe you two can complement one another?
I definitely think we'll complement each other very well. So he's a fantastic young player, someone I can learn from on and off the court on how to be a great professional athlete. So it's just someone I would learn from, complementing one another on both ends of the court. Very similar to who I played with at Duke, Marvin Bagley.
Wendell, when you interviewed with the Bulls, what kind of questions did they ask you that maybe surprised you or maybe showed you that they were really serious about taking you?
They just wanted to hear my whole life story. They wanted to know a lot about my personal life, a lot about, what's really going on, behind the scenes. So it showed that they really cared and that, they really wanted to get to know me. So it showed that they had a lot of interest in me.
So, what is it about Wendell Carter Jr. talking to the press right now? Dante DiVincenzo taken by Milwaukee. Let's go back to the Carter presser.
I think I fit perfectly. Like we talked about marketing being at the showcase big right now for them, and it's a perfect spot for me to come in and jump right in. Be the best that I can, be the best player that I can be, and just continue to learn and become better.
Hey, Wendell, the 22nd pick is coming up. What would you like to see these guys do with that one?
I don't know who's even on the board. I haven't been watching the the draft that much, but I can't even tell you.
Anybody else? Okay, one more.
Bulls weren't really on national TV at all. Did you ever really see them play this past year? Or did you watch stuff after, maybe during your workouts?
No, I didn't watch them play as much this past year. But film studies are going to be every night for me, learning more about their team, learning how I can fit in. So,
So the thoughts there from Wendell Carter Jr. speaking to the press as the Spurs are on the clock. Let's go back to Dante DiVincenzo, taken by the Milwaukee Bucks.
The NCAA tournament darling DiVincenzo is tough, competitive, shoots it with range, has unwavering confidence, and is going to be able to impact the game as a microwave scorer in the NBA level. But he needs to improve his handle and ability to run the show. He's much more of a scoring guard at this stage than he is a point guard.
So Dante DiVincenzo from Villanova, another Villanova pick, number 17 overall to Milwaukee. We talked to, and really Nick has really been hard on Milwaukee because you covered them a lot this past season, where you could see the talent from Giannis Antetokounmpo. You can see the Bucks trying to put something together, but you felt like they were maybe one or two players short from really being a contender on the same level of the Sixers and definitely the Celtics.
No doubt, Hoodie, and that's why within that Celtics series, depleted as the Celtics were, there were a lot of people that thought the Bucks were going to be able to take that next step. I didn't see it because I didn't think the supporting cast after Giannis and Chris Middleton was enough. Having said that, I really like this pick for Milwaukee. DiVincenzo can space the floor. He can knock down shots. We saw that in the national title game throughout his career in Villanova. And maybe he can provide that offensive spark that sometimes they were lacking. And one other thing to consider with where the Bucks are at right now, you bring in a guy like Mike Budenholzer offensively to fit systems. This kid will be able to play that up and down style that Bud likes to run now with the Bucks.
Chris, the Bucks had two coaches, Coach Kidd and Coach Prunty. And then, so if Mike Budenholzer wants to have success, you're looking for shooters to go along with Giannis. You want to be able to have guys with second chance opportunities, defensive rebounds, all that for Milwaukee to be a real contender.
Yeah, you're hoping that DiVincenzo is more of a Klay Thompson and less of a Nick Stauskas, because I think that's the range you're looking at with him. He obviously is a player who excelled at the college level, that we saw in the tournament and at the Final Four. But the one thing that always concerns me are the workout warriors, the guys that jump up the board at the combine and after the season is done. Did he put enough on tape as a six-man at Villanova? They have so much elite talent on that squad, and that's why they were so good. And that's kind of what you're looking at with the Milwaukee Bucks. Jonathan, I have some housekeeping for us. There was a trade that took place during the thrilling teleconference from Wendell Carter that we took right here on ESPN 1000.
Mm-hmm.
So Mikal Bridges went 10 to the 76ers, right?
Right.
That pick has now been traded with the Suns at 16. So the 76ers are going to get Zaire Smith, and the Suns are going to get Mikal Bridges. So now the Suns are pairing Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, with Mikal Bridges, the shooting guard from Villanova.
So Bridges and Jackson on the wings, guys. Yeah, Mikal
Bridges, right?
Mikal Bridges.
Okay.
Yeah. Adrian Wojnarowski, the Suns are acquiring Mikal Bridges in a deal that will send Smith to the 76ers. A league source tells ESPN the Suns will send the 2021 first-round pick via Miami in the deal as well.
All right, so I find that very interesting. And again, this is a Suns team, the youngest team in the NBA, looking to be able to stockpile some young talent and for the future to be bright in Phoenix. As you're listening to the NBA Draft Show here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app, along with Chris Bleck and Nick Friedel, Jonathan Hood with you. The Spurs are on the clock. Spurs, a team that always finds a way to find solid players to fill a role with the team. Nobody flourishes in the G League like the Spurs. So the Kawhi Leonard issue is still out there. Will Kawhi come back to the Spurs? Will he go someplace else? You know, I'm not saying that this pick is going to be a difference maker for the Spurs, but you got to start someplace. You got to start figuring out what life is going to be like after Leonard.
Well, and if you're them, you know, with the issues that have gone on, Hoodie, you got to figure out what's going on with that situation. Let's kick it up to Adam Silver at the podium.
NBA draft. The San Antonio Spurs select Lonnie Walker IV from the University of Miami.
At close to 6'5" with a near 6'11" wingspan, Lonnie Walker has as high of an upside as any guard in the draft. He's a freak athlete who plays above the rim with ease, can really shoot the ball on the move, gets to his pull-up off the bounce with great elevation, is going to have to improve his ability to score efficiently in the half court and make his teammates better.
So Lonnie Walker, the shooting guard from Miami, now with the San Antonio Spurs, with the Atlanta Hawks on the clock. Chris, what do you think of the Walker signings? As we mentioned, you know, you got to figure out what's happening with Kawhi Leonard. Is he returning? Is he not? At the same time, for the first time ever in the Popovich era, we get drama. Okay, usually quiet, you can't hear anything that's going on with the Spurs, almost Patriots-like in that regard. And so the first sign was the LaMarcus Aldridge issue, where Greg Popovich had an issue with Aldridge, and it's something that we've all talked about how Aldridge had an issue the way he was being utilized in San Antonio. And so maybe that's been squashed, maybe not. I don't know. At this point in time, it seems like it's okay. But the Kawhi Leonard news is huge, because if Kawhi doesn't want to come back to a model franchise like the Spurs, there's something going on there in San Antonio.
You know, Jonathan, it's unusual this early in the draft night that we see the San Antonio Spurs on the draft board at 8:30 Central Time. Right. Like, this is weird that they just made a pick in the NBA draft. Lonnie Walker Jr., I think, is a fantastic pick. 19-year-old, 6'4". He's an explosive, shifty shooting guard who has shades of Ben Gordon, Patrick McCaw, Corey Brewer-type looking player. And I think when you look at his ability to create his own shot with hesitations, his smooth shooting release, and different abilities to get into the lane and get his own shot, once again, no matter where the Spurs pick, they always get a talent that is someone who probably shouldn't be there when they pick. We said the same thing sitting here with Dejounte Murray. He has turned out to be a really good player for the Spurs. Once again, they land a really good player. I think there have been concerns about Walker's medicals, but I think if he stays healthy, what the Spurs are known to keep players healthy outside this Kawhi issue, this is a really good pick for the San Antonio Spurs.
The other key there besides the medicals, Chris, when you talk to people around that Miami program, I was able to see him in Coral Gables a few months back. There were just too many times in games where he just disappeared. And with San Antonio, because of all the veterans, you have that built-in core. You don't have to come in and have some kind of massive impact as a younger player. But what Walker's got to learn is you've got to come and bring the same kind of effort every night and show up all the time. And if ever there was a system where they can teach you that, it's San Antonio.
All right, so the Atlanta Hawks are on the clock right now. Chris, obviously not very happy with what the Atlanta Hawks have done. I told you, man, they want to be able to have some kind of splash trying to put butts in seats at the Highlight Factory. And here's the thing that's really – here's the thing that's disappointing about this deal that took place, right? We need to go back and look at that Doncic deal. The Hawks chose the flash over someone that could be a solid basketball player. Right? They feel that Young can be a guy that can be able to get people to come to the stadium because of the kind of player that he was at Oklahoma, because there is an American player that you saw there in Oklahoma that was able to do some great things. Instead of going with maybe a solid guy for 10 years that could help you in Doncic. But you're not happy with what Atlanta's done.
Yeah, as we cross the bottom of the hour here, Jonathan, if you're driving around, you don't know what the top five kind of entailed. We saw a trade of picks. We saw Luka Doncic be selected third overall by the Hawks and then trade that pick to the Dallas Mavericks for Trae Young. And Trae Young now is the third player taken overall in this draft, which is ridiculous. If you look at all the talent in this draft, that's crazy. Then you look at the fact that this Hawks team has nothing. They have virtually nothing. You're telling me, so you laid it out there. They want to sell seats. They want to get people into the building. Mm-hmm. And they are providing now an American talent that people have seen. Well, what if he's not any good? People are going to go see someone who's not any good?
Well, then, and I know well, I'm being then it's really, still going to be empty because well, it always is.
But I know I'm being tough on Trae Young, and he might be a pretty good player, but he definitely, out of the top 10, has the highest bust potential out of any of these guys. You know, like, we could all be sitting here in 5 years saying, hey, you know what's funny? Trae Young's playing in Europe. Like that, if you looked at all of the storylines that are possibilities in Trae Young's career, that is definitely one that's there. You know, Mikal Bridges, who we were just talking about, who just got traded, he's going to play in the league for a few years. He's going to be a productive player. Wendell Carter Jr., he's going to be a productive player for years to come. Trae Young, we don't know. He's not the second coming of Steph Curry. He's a lot smaller. He has a lower shooting pocket. It's going to be a struggle for him to be able to develop the ability to get that shot off in traffic. Now, he can pass. He can play in the pick and roll. He can do some good things. But I think the problem is when you saw teams in college basketball key in on him defensively after all those 40-point performances early in the season, you realize that when a defense tries to take him away and he's going to be the only player for the Hawks, he's going to struggle.
If you're Atlanta, you have to buy into that hype, though. And that's the key.
Or you get a new team.
Well, but you've seen it happen so often. Let's go back to Adam Silver in Brooklyn and see what the Hawks do at number 19.
The 19th pick in the 2018 NBA draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Kevin Huerter from the University of Maryland.
At 6'7", with a smooth shooting stroke and a high basketball IQ, Huerter is a perfect fit in the modern NBA. He can get going on the move. You can use him on the ball. He can play off the ball. Needs to improve his ability to defend his position. He's a little bit slight in his frame, but he's still only 19 years old as a sophomore, younger than Mohamed Bamba, Michael Porter, and DeAndre Ayton.
So Kevin Huerter, the shooting guard from Maryland, going 19 to the Hawks.
Okay, so here you go. You have your mini Steph Curry. You have your mini Klay Thompson and Kevin Huerter, because that's exactly what he is. He's a spot-up shooter who has playmaking ability. He's super young, like you heard in the bio there. This is your backcourt for the Atlanta Hawks. They better be able to shoot, Nick, because if they can't, good luck trying to defend with these two.
And I saw on the screen there the comp of Mike Miller. The 2018 NBA draft. You all right?
I'm all right, my man.
You did see that, right?
I did. I had a chuckle. I've seen
so
Mike
ridiculous.
Miller play plenty of times.
Yeah, I'm saying, guys, it is the junior varsity of the Splash Brothers. That's what you have in Hotlanta.
There's a lot of pressure now on Lloyd Pierce as a first-year head coach to get that offense up and running, because they're going to need every bit of it if you're going to play those guys, as Chris said.
Dumpster fire.
Knicks guys, Minnesota Timberwolves are on the clock. The underachieving Wolves are next. We'll find out what they do at 20 as you're listening to the 2018 NBA Draft on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Now back to our coverage of the 2018 NBA Draft on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Welcome back to the 2018 NBA Draft here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app, along with UIC Flames color analyst Chris Black and ESPN.com's Nick Friedel. I'm Jonathan Hood. The Minnesota Timberwolves are on the clock, one of the more disappointing teams in the playoffs last year. There's a reason why Tom Thibodeau hasn't had a good night's sleep since the Carter administration. It's a bad defense. The defense of the Wolves left a lot to be desired, along with the issues internally with Jimmy Butler and Andrew Wiggins. That's something that you saw firsthand covering that team, did you not?
That team has a lot of issues, Hoodie, that they got to work through this summer or figure out what they're going to do. It's not just Jimmy and Wiggins. It was Towns and everybody at times. And if you're the Timberwolves and you're banking on Towns and Wiggins to be the guys that lead you to some next step, they've got to mature and they've got to show more on the floor in order for people to feel good about where they're going long term.
The millennial is going to get along with the drill sergeant? I mean, that's the theme of that team, right? Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns, will they put up with Tom Thibodeau long term?
I don't personally think they're going to have to worry about that too much, because if Tom does not win this year, I wouldn't be surprised at all if a change is coming at the end of this coming
season.
That's
surprising.
There's a ton of money left on Tom's deal, but this team was built to win right now.
He's the head of basketball ops.
That's why you make that deal for Jimmy. Let's go up and see what Minnesota does at number
20. We have another trade to announce. The Philadelphia 76ers trade the draft rights to Mikal Bridges, the 10th pick, to the Phoenix Suns, for the draft rights to Zaire Smith, the 16th pick, and a future first-round pick. And with the 20th pick in the 2018 NBA Draft, the Minnesota Timberwolves select Josh Okogie from Georgia Tech.
The 19-year-old Georgia Tech guard fits the 3-and-D mold with a 7-foot wingspan, 211-pound frame, can make a standstill three, and very competitive on the defensive end, should be able to guard up to three positions, but he's very rigid with the ball and doesn't have a great feel for the game. Questions about his ability to make the simple play in the half court.
So Josh Okogie, the shooting guard from Georgia Tech, part of the Wolves mix. Finish your thoughts about Minnesota before we break down, Josh.
Look, Hoodie, the Timberwolves were supposed to be one of those teams that were competing not only to get in the playoffs for the first time in 14 years, but to make some noise once they got there. You lose Jimmy Butler for a couple months, that is going to hurt always. The broader issue with that team is they just don't all get along. I mean, they don't all get along. Jimmy wants to be the alpha guy. He imposed his will on the group, and he had a hell of a year when he was on the floor. But you signed Andrew Wiggins to a max extension to be one of the best players, the best wings in the league. He is not that guy. He is. I don't believe he is that good. I don't believe that no matter how much work he puts in, he'll ever be as good as Tom wanted him to be. With Karl Anthony Towns, he is a very, very skilled offensive player. Defensively, there are times when he absolutely is going through the motions, which pissed off a ton of his teammates and was a recurring theme throughout various parts of that year. So when you're the Timberwolves and you've locked in all this money to Wiggins, you're going to lock in all this money to Towns, and you're unsure of what Jimmy Butler's future holds after this coming season, they better win right now. Because if they don't win big this year, I really believe Tom may be in trouble job-wise, and I also think that Jimmy, which is another storyline to follow out all summer here, may be elsewhere a year from right now.
Utah's on the clock. What do you think of what Minnesota did, Chris?
Josh Okogie. Okay, let's you guys let me know if this sounds like a Thibodeau-type player. Ready? Okay. Versatile, high energy. That's Thibodeau-esque, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Versatile ability to switch onto multiple defenders on the perimeter. Right? That's very Thibodeau, right? Mm-hmm. He's good at the strong help defense, so he is a team defender, really good at that. And he's a plus rebounder for his position and his size. He's 6'4", he's a shooting guard, he's a tough-nosed defender. He has an ability to score as well. 18 points per game in the ACC is nothing to sniff at either. I like the move, and I think this goes to a backup for Jimmy Butler, ease some of the minutes off of Butler's plate, and then also pick up the slack where Andrew Wiggins does not pick up, especially if you look at the bio on Okogie. Defense is a highlighted thing here, right? Hard-nosed defense.
Right.
All right, well, Wiggins, you don't want to give the effort in the final 5 minutes of game? Guess what? You're going to sit, and I'm going to play the rookie who deserves the minutes. And I know Thibodeau doesn't usually do that.
I was going to say, now that would be a stretch.
But he will value minutes for defense over minutes of lackadaisical nonsense from Wiggins on the floor, right?
Well, Thibodeau is going to die on that Wiggins contract. That's what's going to happen.
It's already hurting him.
Right.
It's already hurting him.
He is going to perish in Minnesota because of that contract. That kid, what I understand in Minnesota is the two things that Wiggins is good at is the gummy bears and video games.
He loves the video games.
And he's fresh out of gummy bears.
The Utah Jazz are on the clock. The Jazz did a great job under Gwynn Snyder last year. Life after Gordon Hayward wasn't so bad after you take a look at Donovan Mitchell. Saved the franchise and really gave a max effort every night. So the Utah Jazz, really a surprising team, quite frankly, with them without Hayward. And then I think that one of the things that some of these teams in the middle of the draft or toward the end of the first round here, they'd love to have their own Donovan Mitchell coming out of nowhere.
Donovan Mitchell is the new bar, Hoodie. You're always hoping now, if you're one of these teams, that you can find Donovan Mitchell somewhere after the top 10 and save your franchise a lot of lean years. I mean, for Utah to be able to get to where they got, great sign. Let's see what they do at number 21 with Adam Silver.
With the 21st pick in the 2018 NBA Draft, the Utah Jazz select Grayson Allen from Duke University.
One of the most controversial prospects during his college career at Duke, Allen's going to be able to pop as a bench scorer in the NBA. He really shoots the ball at a high level and can get downhill in space. Also a competitive defender. There are questions about his upside, his ability to create his own offense in the half court, how many positions he can defend. He just plays a little bit heavy-footed in the half court. So how will that translate to the NBA?
Well, isn't that perfect? Grayson Allen, part of the Utah Jazz. Chris, we go over to you now with analysis of Grayson Allen, Duke shooting guard, now part of the Jazz system.
He's already a fan favorite, Jonathan. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, 5 seconds in, there's no question. He fits perfectly in that town.
15 points per game, 3 rebounds, and 4.6 assists per. He's 6'4". He's almost 23. He's a feisty guard with a knack for shooting. His defense is really one to get under your skin. We saw his leadership with the Duke squad as they got through the tournament. He is a really good spot-up shooter. He has great footwork. He does a good job of attacking closeouts defensively, so he doesn't get beat, allowing the penetrator to get around him. You know, Grayson Allen is a tough player. He annoys a lot of people as well. And I think if you can mix into a squad that already plays great defense with Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell, and what they have with Rubio as well, mm-hmm. Now you're really starting to build a tough defensive team. He's probably going to be a six-man type guy, a guy that's not starting for you. Come in, give some solid minutes for Quinn Snyder and the Utah Jazz, and really the perfect fit for the Utah Jazz.
I love the Chauncey Billups player comparison of Bob Sura.
Okay.
All right, so now let's go to you, Nick. Your thoughts on Grayson Allen now from Duke, now part of the Utah Jazz.
Look, as you go throughout the league, Hoodie, Quinn Snyder's offense and what he's been able to build the last couple seasons in Utah is praised all over the place. So Grayson Allen, who we all know can be a solid spot-up shooter, questions defensively, he can fit into that role coming off the bench that can space the floor out a Perfect. Little bit around Gobert. I mean, it makes a lot of sense for a wide variety of reasons, but from a basketball perspective, certainly, he's the guy who can come off and give you some instant offense if he gets hot. Utah struggled getting an offensive rhythm at times. Maybe he can help him out.
This jerk is now part of the Utah Jazz team. Let me just tell you this. Now, see, here it's the Jazz, Chris. So it's fine.
Yeah.
It's the Jazz. So no matter what, the Jazz will be fine. It actually is a reach.
Yes,
without question, it's a reach.
Yeah.
Now, what this pick is city team fit.
Right.
That more so than his ability
like
to do anything.
Like Trae Young.
A lot of ways.
Can we, as we sit here in the Advocate Center waiting for the Bulls as they're on the clock, 3:27 away from their pick, can we throw a shout-out to the Hawks for taking Trae Young off the board, to the Nuggets for taking Michael Porter Jr., and how about a shout-out, just pour one out for the Jazz for getting Grayson Allen off the board so we don't have to worry about it with the Bulls at 22. Can
sure.
Can we get a shout-out from the Utah Jazz to help us out? That's great.
I
love that.
As I look upstairs to the offices, I see a lot of furniture being moved here. Maybe some unhappiness that Grayson Allen not being a Bull. Just one pick shy of what the Bulls want to do at 22. All right, so here we go, guys, with 22 for the Bulls. Again, we're about under 3 minutes away from the Bulls making their selection. Heard a lot of Hutchinson from Boise State in this spot. But position-wise, what's needed for the Bulls at 22?
The issue here, Hoodie, is something that was prevalent throughout last season is the wings who can stretch things out. A three, which is why I think a lot of people were looking at Hutchinson all along, is a potential fit on this roster. The Bulls have needs everywhere. This team, aside from Markkanen, they're unsure of. Now they get Carter, and you hope that he can help you in the front court, but the issue for the Bulls remains the same. And let's go to Adam Silver and see
with
who they're going to select.
With the 22nd pick in the 2018 NBA Draft, the Chicago Bulls select Chandler Hutchinson from Boise State University.
The late-blooming Boise State wing is versatile on the offensive end of the floor. He can attack a defensive rebound and push in transition. He's a playmaker in space with long strides to the rim and a solid feel for the game. But he needs to improve as a shooter. Was a non-shooter when he arrived at Boise State. Now he's gotten better, but his confidence fluctuates, and he's not all that tough on the defensive end of the floor.
Chandler Hutchinson, the shooting guard from Boise State, no surprise, this veteran observer of the passing scene. The Bulls take Chandler Hutchinson. This has been talked about for the last couple of weeks, as a matter of fact, that if he was there at 22, that the Bulls would take him. Mountain West Player of the Year this past season, now part of the Chicago Bulls.
It's so fascinating to me, Hoodie, and we've all watched these Bulls in the front office for years. So rarely do you get, well, a team promised a guy that if he were there at fill-in-the-blank pick, that they would take him. Mm-hmm. And here we are 3 weeks later, 4 weeks later, and here's Hutchison. I mean, this fits on the surface for the Bulls in need of a guy who can shoot it from the outside and who can give you a little bit of a defensive edge. But, you know, the issue is where is he going to be able to contribute early on? How will Fred Hoiberg be able to use him? The thing that you like that we've talked about throughout the night, he has the ability to get up and down the floor and potentially defend several different positions. And for a Bulls team that is lacking in a variety of areas, maybe he'll be able to help out early on for Fred Hoiberg.
You got like the size. You got like what he did in production-wise in college basketball last year, the 20-7, the 3 assists. You got like that. You like how he projects to a 3-and-D role player in the NBA. You like how he has changed his shooting form while he was at Boise State. He's become a more consistent shooter from long range. You got like the fact that he reminds you of Kyle Kuzma. A steal from last year's draft that people overlooked, who played in a lesser conference, who excelled at that level, who the Lakers picked and turned into a guy who just knows how to play basketball. Chandler Hutchinson looks like a guy who knows how to play basketball when you watch a tape. Now, here's the thing that I would throw out to both of you that Bulls fans have to also hesitate on. At 22, he was just picked, right? Weeks ago, we were told he was promised that he was going to go at 22.
Correct.
Weeks ago, we looked at the scout information. We look at everything. We say, wow, that's not a 22 pick, right? Like that on boards. That's not what it is. Well, tonight at 22, right now on ESPN.com, he's the 16th best available player right now, taken at 22. So he should be going in the late 30s, and the Bulls just took him at 22. He better be good.
Yes, absolutely. And again, you're going by what the reports were saying that the Bulls would promise, like, if you're there at 22, we take you. The Bulls honored their promise because there he is at 22. Now, Chandler Hutchinson, first team All-Mountain West last two seasons. Mountain West Player of the Year last year, as we documented. Also recorded the first known triple-double in school history with 23-10-10 against Portland back on December 3rd of 2017. The ranking that you have there on ESPN.com tells a great story. Chandler Hutchinson, again, when you're the Bulls and you are at, you know, 7-22 and you're just trying to get younger and try to get, you know, find quality players, you know, Chris, here's the thing that you don't want. You want to make sure that you want to hit and strike on two quality picks. I know the Bulls didn't have a lot of value in the second round on some of those picks, but in the first round, since you have two picks, you want to be able to hit on two quality picks. Hopefully, for the Bulls' sake, Hutchinson can be that guy.
He was just picked at 22. On ESPN.com, he's the 16th best available player right now, now that he's off the board. Some guys that remind you of Chandler Hutchinson at the next level: Jared Dudley, Ryan Gomes, Justin Anderson.
And Landry Fields.
That's pretty good. Yeah. This is when you trust your scouting department. This is when you put all the time and effort into what you've been doing for several years. If you believe, and very clearly they did because they've targeted this guy for weeks, if you believe he's this good, you have to follow through on it and hope that he can bloom at the next level.
All right, so the Pacers are on the board, and this portion of our 2018 NBA Draft Show is brought to you by IDOT's Life or Death Illinois. Over 300 people die each year on Illinois roads as a result of buzzed, drunk, or impaired driving crashes. Learn more at lifeordeathillinois.com. The Pacers on the board will tell you what they choose as we continue on from the Advocate Center. The 2018 NBA Draft continues after this on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Now back to our coverage of the 2018 NBA Draft on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app with Nick Friedell and Chris Black. Here's Jonathan Hood.
The younger brother of Drew and Justin Holiday, Aaron Holiday, knows what it takes to make it to the NBA level. He's a fiery competitor, a pit bull defender, plays bigger than his measurements suggest, and can really shoot the ball off the catch on the move. Has to improve his peripheral vision. He's not much of a playmaker. Now, he didn't have much help at UCLA, but he's going to have to improve his ability to run the show and play in a crowd in the NBA.
Aaron
Jared Holiday taken by the Indiana Pacers at number 23. The Blazers are on the clock as you're listening to our 2018 NBA draft coverage. You're on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app, along with UIC Flames color analyst Chris Black and ESPN.com's Nick Friedel. This is Jonathan Hood. Thanks so much for being with us here. We've come to find out here at the Advocate Center that the Bulls made their selections at 7-22. The Bulls take Wendell Carter Jr. with the number 7 pick in the draft. At number 22, they take Chandler Hutchinson, the shooting guard, small forward out of Boise State, who is a senior on this team. So we see what the Indiana Pacers have done, Chris, as they get Holiday from UCLA, part of a great Holiday basketball lineage. And so what can he bring to the Pacers?
Jonathan, he's 6'1". You saw him at UCLA, and he's a guard that plays good defense. The offensive game isn't necessarily a guy that's going to explode off the page, but he's going to give you solid minutes, and he's a good shooter. He's a good enough shooter to stay on the court. He's a really tough-nosed defender and a point guard that's going to run the offense, not really be a spot-up shooter, but a guy that gives you good minutes defensively and running through the offense. I think he's going to be a solid backup point guard for the Indiana Pacers, at least right off the bat, and they hope for the long term to turn into a starter.
Yeah, you remember the Indiana Pacers. Victor Oladipo did a great job, Chris and Nick, of leading this Pacers team into the playoffs. Remember the Paul George trade, and Pacers fans were saying, Oladipo and Sabonis, that's all we got?
They were getting crushed at this time last year.
Huh? Yeah, and look what happened. They went to the playoffs with the arrow pointing up for them.
And now the question becomes, and it was a huge storyline as soon as they got bounced by Cleveland in Game 7, can Oladipo take the next step as a star player in this league? Can that group maintain what they did and continue to get contributions from a guy like Miles Turner? Can he stay healthy? Can he take another step in his evolution? I'm with Chris on Holiday. Maybe he can jump in right away and give you some solid minutes for Nate McMillan. He comes from a hell of a basketball family, though. Obviously, Justin Holiday, Chicago fans are familiar with here. Jrue Holiday just had the year of his career after signing a max extension in New Orleans. So he's going to know how the game works, and he's been around it his entire life.
So Portland's on the clock, a real disappointment in the NBA playoffs. They were swept by the Pelicans, which was unfortunate for them. The Blazers and the Wizards are like two Spider-Man memes pointing at each other. You suck? No. I suck? No, you suck. They're both actually pointing at one another about the ineptitude. Portland continues to get into the playoffs, but always is the bridesmaid for that franchise. Here's the thing. Our Wizards conversation should match the Portland conversation, right? When it comes to McCollum and Lillard, they do have Nurkic, who is a restricted free agent, paying McCollum and Lillard. The Blazers are really not getting a bang for their buck. You know, the overspending, to say the least. What do you think, Chris?
When you look at Portland, what are you going to do long-term with Lillard and McCollum? Because that's the question. Will you move one of them in the future?
With the 24th pick in the 2018 NBA Draft, the Portland Trail Blazers select Anthony Simons from Altamont Springs, Florida.
The IMG product is an extremely gifted scorer, one of the most talented perimeter shooters in this draft. Off the dribble, off the catch, can really fill it up from the perimeter, and just an effortless athlete on his way to the rim at 6'3" with a 6'9" wingspan. But having not played in the NCAA, he's still a ways away from maximizing his potential, particularly on the defensive end. Very slight of frame and needs to up his intensity level on that end of the floor.
So Anthony Simons, the shooting guard. I want to get back to your point about Portland, because again, it sounds like like Washington and Portland are kind of the same conversation. But so Simons, he decommitted to Louisville in September of 2017 after then coach Rick Pitino was placed on administrative leave. Described as a bouncy athlete with a deep shooting range, we're talking about someone who's averaging 22 points a game and shooting it from 45% from three-point range. So from IMG Academy. But again, the bigger picture of Portland is that they'll be in the playoffs, but what happened to them against New Orleans, Chris, like it surprised me, a sweep the way they did. But again, two dynamic guards
But then how do you get better, even though you have Lillard and McCollum on the team?
Do you need to change the structure of the team, or do you just need to add on? And I think that's the question that Portland has going forward, because if you look at your duo in the backcourt, they're both really skilled. You have them both under contract. But is McCollum better suited playing somewhere else, and you maybe getting a big, maybe getting an athletic, more athletic wing player to pair with Damian Lillard? That's the thing, is when you look at the way the Pelicans took them apart and the way Anthony Davis just demolished them inside, you know, do you just double down on what you have already and you try and build upon that? Or do you move one of these guys and you look at Simons and he's young, super young, and the whole conversation about this is also he's a guy that went around the system. He didn't do the one and done in college. He went back for a postgraduate year at IMG Academy. So he is a player who's going from high school to the NBA, but with a 1 year of buffer in between his final year of official high school and entering the NBA. He's 19 years old, but he didn't play in college basketball last season. So, I mean, it's interesting. He's super athletic. He's 6'3". You know, a smaller player. You already have two undersized guards to begin with on your team. Does that mean one of these guys, Lillard or McCollum, is going to be on the move this summer?
You're giving yourself protection here. That's what you're doing. This is a little insurance. And guys, having watched the Trail Blazers enough throughout the years, but certainly last season, I just don't see them being able to part with Damian Lillard. I think he is too ingrained within that city and within the fabric of that team to think that he'd be the guy that would go elsewhere. Maybe it's McCollum. The issue is they don't have what you need everywhere else to be able to think that they're going to turn it around anytime soon. So, yeah, I like the pick in the sense that there's a chance he can develop, but I don't believe that you can keep all three of those guys long term.
The Lakers are on the clock.
If you look at Simons and you look at the way the Portland Trail Blazers could use him and develop him, do you think this is a situation, maybe a path for the future, where a kid decides he doesn't want to go to school, to college, he plays an extra year in high school before this rule is abolished, whatever they're going to do for the future of the one and done, and what if Portland puts him right into the G League from the start, right into the developmental league, and then they use that as a place to tutelage and have development for Simon.
They got to have a G League first. They got to get a team. They don't have a G League team yet.
They don't have a team. No. So they couldn't put him somewhere. I mean, they could probably loan him out to a team at this point. But, you know, like that would be another way to go about it while you're waiting to decide between the two in the backcourt, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, if you're Portland, you saw what happened in the postseason, and it's not just McCollum or Lillard. There were issues with that team, guys, for a long time, salary cap wise.
Yes,
you're going back to Mo Harkless getting a major deal, Evan Turner getting a major deal. I mean, Myers Leonard got paid out there. Mm-hmm. So I understand the need to try to build for the future, but your future right now is tied into your present with the bad contracts within that cap.
Speaking of the future, what does the future hold for the Los Angeles Lakers? Because they're on the clock at 25. Will LeBron James be a Los Angeles Laker? Will Paul George be a Los Angeles Laker? Maybe someone that the Lakers choose here can be part of the core, part of the nucleus of what Magic Johnson and what the Lakers are trying to do. They are a very interesting team, as you well know, Chris. Looking at this team, they hold a lot of cards. They can be able to get themselves right back in the mix. The smile of Magic Johnson, that's all you need when it comes to trying to bring players into the fold with the Lakers. He's a terrific, it's interesting, owner of the Lakers and the Dodgers. So he's got a lot to give here. Let's see, wonder what the Lakers are going to do here. So we got to keep our eyes on that. What do you think the Lakers are going to do here?
You know, Los Angeles is in a situation where they can really just take the best available player because they have guards, they have post players, and what you just laid out, Jonathan, is the ability to have cap space and reform your team in the following month after the draft. So really, if I'm the Lakers, you take the best available player because you really don't know what you're going to have
right
for training camp. Here's Adam Silver in Brooklyn.
With the 25th pick in the 2018 NBA draft, the
the Los Angeles Lakers select Moritz Wagner from Berlin and the University of Michigan.
The March Madness darling, Michigan's Wagner, is a stretch five who can pick and pop to space, shoot it off the catch, and really attack off the bounce, even changing direction at times, has an unparalleled work ethic, but questions about his ability to defend in space, defensive rebound, and make his teammates better.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you saw the Lakers reach for Mo Wagner from Michigan. Eric, before we get the analysis here, let us. Do you have the Mo Wagner profile?
Wagner hoodie.
Wagner.
Okay, we're going with Wagner.
He'll be Wagner when he's good in the NBA. Mo Wagner from Michigan. Do you have the profile?
Former Illinois superstar and Illini radio analyst Deion Thomas.
Special, special player. And what he has that those other guys don't have. Now, no, he's not the athlete of Jaren Jackson or those guys. He's not the defensive shot blocker like a Mo Bamba. But his basketball IQ and his skill level is almost second to none when it comes to passing, shooting, putting the ball on the floor. I think he's a great fit for today's NBA. And it's really going to boil down to who drafts him, because I know in some of the drafts that I've seen, they had him in the second round. I definitely do not think he's a second round player, and I think anybody's going to be extremely happy when they get him.
So what's great, Deion Thomas, Chris, does not believe that Mo Wagner is a second round talent. He's a first round talent. This will be interesting, him with the Lakers. How do you see him?
Well, Mo Wagner ranked right now on ESPN.com as the 38th available player in this year's draft. He goes 25th to the Lakers. You know, I thought he did a really good job offensively in the tournament. He's a good rebounder. He's a good shooter on the block, and he has the ability to use low post moves to his benefit based on his size. He's 7 foot, 241. And, you know, the one other thing I would add to this, it's he's a player at Michigan who has won. The Lakers have a lot of young guys who have never won anything. Kuzma, Lonzo Ball, these guys have not won. At least with Mo Wagner, it's a guy who has some pedigree to it because he played in a winning culture at Michigan. Now, whatever you have in free agency to add to that, we'll see with the Lakers.
There's a key component here also to the Michigan aspect of things.
With the Sixers on the clock?
With the Sixers at the clock coming up at pick 26. Rob Pelinka, the GM of the Lakers, who was a very well-known agent throughout the league before he took over here, he played at Michigan. So if ever there was a connection between how deep into a prospect's core and background and time in school could be, Rob Pelinka is very well plugged in, but especially to that program. And we've seen it happen a lot. We saw it happen with the Bulls very clearly with Chandler Hutchison. You have guys and you have teams that fall in love with each other. And the Lakers obviously knew that Wagner was a guy they wanted if he were available in this spot. Be damned the rankings of where he may land at various services. But Pelinka's connection to Michigan, I think, shouldn't go unnoticed here, because he knew just how good of a player he could potentially become.
Moritz Wagner, 14.6 points a game, 7 rebounds, shooting 52% from the field at Michigan. Second team all Big Ten last season, joined Larry Bird and Hakeem Olajuwon as the only players to record 20 points and 15 rebounds in the national semifinal. Wagner also had a 24.15 rebound effort against Loyola and shot 40% from three-point range over the last couple of seasons. So Wagner now part of the Lakers, and the 76ers are on the clock as you're listening to the 2018 NBA Draft here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app, along with Chris Black and Nick Friedell, Jonathan Hood with you. As we wait for the Sixers pick, guys, so as far as what the Bulls have done here at 7-22, as I mentioned before, at 7, I think that the pick is fine. The Hutchinson pick was always promised to Hutchinson, so it was going to be there. But I just think that based on what they've done tonight, I don't think they stretched. I think they have someone that they feel is a quality piece for them along with their core.
If we were using one word to describe the night so far, Hoodie, for the Bulls, to me it would be predictable, mm-hmm. but not in a bad way. Mm-hmm. You figured that if Carter were there, he was probably their guy. We had heard the rumblings about Hutchison for weeks. and he fits a need as well. So this is, again, where you have to trust in all the time you've put in over the last couple of years. They knew what they were getting potentially in these two guys. These were two guys that they've targeted for a while. And here we are, almost 4 hours into the night, and you figured that these were the two guys that if they were there, they'd take them, and they did.
Tell me if the Bulls have addressed the needs coming into tonight. Needs for the Chicago Bulls up front, we knew that they needed shooting. Last year, they're 28th in offensive efficiency. They were tied for 29th, last in the league with the Sacramento Kings in true shooting percentage. They were 25th in offensive rebound rate, which if you say, all right, rebounding, who really cares? That's a way, if you're close to other teams, to skew the analytics in your favor to win basketball games is with offensive rebounding. They were 25th last year in offensive rebounding rate. They were 29th in defensive efficiency. They definitely needed more wing depth. They needed a backup point guard, maybe a starting point guard, who knows, if you figure out whatever's going to happen with Chris Dunn.
Right.
And you need someone who could get their own shot late in the shot clock. Those are all the needs that I wrote down before tonight's show. Have the Bulls address that with their two picks tonight?
Not necessarily. Not all of those things. I think that, you know, you want to have a Carter because you want to establish the inside, which I have no problem with. Now, again, I wonder about the range, the shooting from the outside. I don't know if that's going to be readily available for the Bulls with Carter immediately. But Hutchinson, though, and here's the thing. Is Hutchinson actually going to be a player, or is that someone that's going to be in the G League? See, that's the thing I don't know. Here's what the Bulls are counting on. The Bulls are counting on health. That's the number one thing they're counting on, is that whatever they perceive their core to be, and I think we see the same thing with Markin and Dunn and Levine, if they feel that those three can be healthy, they feel that the arrow's pointing up. Sky's at the limit now, but I think that the arrow's pointing up. So I think that they feel like this draft is just at least they have one guy they can add, but they're depending on what their core is to be able to get them over the hump.
Not only is Hoodie, but what it could be. Mm-hmm. And as we're looking at this on paper right now, assuming that Levine comes back, as both Levine and the Bulls have discussed for months at this point, assuming he does come back and they can stay healthy. Guys, I think this team, with the way they're constructed now, absolutely has a chance to slide into the back end of the playoffs next year in the East. Let's go to Adam Silver in Brooklyn
with
pick number
26. With the 26th pick in the 2018 NBA draft, the Philadelphia 76ers select Landry Shamet from Wichita State University.
Landry Shamet is the point guard of Wichita State, going to the 76ers. We come back, we'll take a look at the rest of the first round of the NBA draft here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Sixers make their choice. Then we got the Boston Celtics, Golden State, Brooklyn, and Atlanta will finish out the first round of the draft. You're listening to the 2018 NBA Draft, along with Chris Black and Nick Friedel, Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Live from the Advocate Center in Chicago, it's the 2018 NBA Draft on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Welcome back to the 2018 NBA Draft here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app, along with Nick Friedel and Chris Black, Jonathan Hood with you, as we are here at the Advocate Center here in Chicago. The Celtics are on the clock, Chris, and the Boston Celtics, a team on the rise, an opportunity for them maybe to be once again the Eastern Conference Finals.
Absolutely. And what we saw in the Eastern Conference Finals, taking LeBron James to Game 7, their ability to play all the young players, Tatum, Rozier, and all these guys coming together, Jaylen Brown, really the future is so bright that they're probably the in-vogue team coming into next season, not named the Golden State Warriors. Because you assume you get Gordon Hayward back, you get Kyrie Irving healthy. This team is stacked, loaded, and they have tons of young assets as well.
Hoodie, I love the Celtics because they play defense. This is a group with Brad Stevens that does exactly what their system asks of them. Mm-hmm. And when you have that in a younger team and younger players who know what they're supposed to do and have the ability and talent to execute it night after night, that's when you know you've got a team that really has the chance to be special. And having watched them in that playoff series against the Bucks, and then from a distance as they continue throughout the playoffs, it's a team that believes in itself. And when you add the two pieces in Kyrie and Hayward, and you see a group that has really lifted each other up in bad times, I am a huge believer in what Stevens can do. And absolutely, as we go into next season, even if LeBron still stays in Cleveland somehow, I think the Celtics are probably going to be close to your betting favorite in a revamped conference.
Interesting, some comments by Kyrie Irving. Now, I'm not sure, is he with the Celtics for the long haul? Mamba 2 is being very coy about his future with the Celtics, so we've got to keep our eyes on that as the Celtics were a terrific team. They really surprised a number of teams. Again, actually surprised a lot of fans. Think about it. No Hayward, no Irving, and then they were able to put this together. They made Al Horford look like a good player in that system. It was amazing.
Well, and we also haven't mentioned Brad Stevens, who is probably one of the three best coaches in all of basketball. So, like, you know, you add everything together, Danny Ainge, what he's done to acquire all these young pieces, one of the best coaches in all of basketball, and then you take LeBron James to Game 7 in the Eastern Conference Final. It's really fantastic what the Boston Celtics have done.
Now both of you have mentioned Brad Stevens. As we go now to the 27th pick, and here's the commissioner.
With the 27th pick in the 2018 NBA Draft, the Boston Celtics select Robert Williams III from Texas A&M University.
Williams fits the modern game in a Clint Capella-type role at 6'10" with a 7'5" wingspan. One of the best lob catchers in this draft, has shot-blocking instincts, can switch on the perimeter, but his motor very up and down, still a very raw in terms of his skill set, is going to have to play hard consistently to maximize his potential at the NBA level.
Chris, you've been looking to see who is going to take Robert Williams. You're surprised that he's taking this late in the first, the shot blocker from Texas A&M.
Yeah, we were reading and hearing that he would maybe go right around the top 10. And not in the top 10, but 10, 11, 12, in that range. And really long, 9, 11, 10 and 9, super active down low, big. He has the ability down low to not only change shots in the defensive end of the floor, but also to catch as a pick-and-dive type of big. He has the ability to run into the post. He has the ability to collect on the rebound, go straight up with it. Really liked what I saw from him at Texas A&M. He's a younger player, elite athlete, and you have to mold him, which with a great coaching staff and a great organization, I would almost have to guarantee that the Boston Celtics are going to get something out of Robert Williams.
This is why you trust the NS system. And, you know, there's been so much praise about Stevens and what his staff has been able to accomplish. But, Hoodie, this is a perfect example. When you have a guy who has the talent and had the success he did in the SEC, you don't need him to come in and give you 25 minutes right away. You can build over time. You can hope he develops, and you can hope he learns from your veterans like an Al Horford and Kyrie Irving in the span of the next couple of years.
Here's what Adrian Wojnarowski says about it. Williams is a lottery-level talent, player with immense talent. If he can show a commitment to playing hard, he could be the steal of the first round. We compare him at ESPN to Clint Capella.
That's fine. You'll take that.
Well, I mean, it works perfectly yeah. with what they have in Boston.
Yeah, that works out perfectly. So now the NBA champion Golden State Warriors are on the clock at number 28. They'll be Brooklyn, then Atlanta, as you are listening to the 2018 NBA Draft here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app, along with Chris Bleck and Nick Friedell, Jonathan Hood with you. The Warriors, again, the champs, they're looking to add. Really love what they did with the Bell acquisition. This time last year, we're talking about Jordan Bell.
Who's he?
Well, I think the Bulls, I think they know who he is now. He's the guy with the ring. $3 million for a ring.
Can I add this real quickly? As the Jordan Bell conversation comes, which I knew would be there at some point, we all did.
Well, we're at the draft show and the Warriors are on, so
you go.
You gotta get a Jordan Bell joke.
I mean, I've learned over time. You know, there's timing. You've taught me about radio timing. Here we are. The Bulls made the decision to trade for Jimmy Butler to deal Jimmy Butler away to Minnesota, and there were a lot of people at the time when we were sitting here a year ago that hated it. And they were going nuts, but you thought, okay, well, let's see what happens here. And they chose their course. And I don't care whether Jordan Bell ended up winning a ring, which he did, Or if it was some guy like a Zipser or an Eric Murphy, we never heard from really again. Never heard from. A second-round pick. The fact that the Bulls did that in the moment, in a couple hours after totally changing direction of what they were planning to do with Jimmy at the core of their team, was just horrible from an optics perspective. And the Bulls deserve all the anger and frustration from their fan base that has come throughout the year. They deserve it all, because you just do not make that kind of decision after dealing Jimmy Butler on the night where you're trying to change course of your franchise for years to come.
Why would you be upset, Nick? Why would you be mad at that? He wasn't even on their draft board.
I've heard this. I've heard this repeatedly. Repeatedly that even if they kept the pick, that Jordan Bell wouldn't have been the pick. That only incites fans even more. It only makes them crazier. The issue is you have a reputation, deserved or not, throughout the league as being cheap. And you make the move to deal Jimmy, and now all of a sudden, 2-3 hours later, you're going, okay, who you got in this pick? And you decide to sell it for $3.5 million. That does not help on a night where it should have been a celebration of a new beginning. Even if fans didn't understand or agree with it at the time, every bit of anger that comes from the Bulls fan base and the frustration from other people around the league, the Bulls deserve every bit of it, given the way things worked a year ago tonight, and certainly given the way that Jordan Bell has succeeded since that deal on draft night.
But, Nick, forget about all the selling away, being cheap, all this stuff that you just talked about. If you're building a team, the best assets to have are young, controllable assets.
No doubt.
So no matter who was on your draft board or what you had at that pick has value, because a player who you can turn into something and developed under that rookie-scale contract, that's important.
Here's the Commissioner Adam Silver with the Warriors pick.
With the 28th pick in the 2018 NBA Draft, the Golden State Warriors select Jacob Evans from the University of Cincinnati.
Evans is a hard-nosed defender who can check at least three positions in the NBA. Comfortable playing with the ball, actually played a fair amount of point guard at Cincinnati under Mick Cronin, has a nice feel for the game, but his shooting stroke has really diminished over the last few months. Needs to show that he can make catch-and-shoot threes consistently at the NBA level.
So Jacob Evans III, the shooting guard from Cincinnati, now part of the Golden State Warriors, 13 points a game, 4.7 rebounds, and 3 assists. Led Cincinnati in scoring and assists last season, a top 10 finalist in 17-18, Julius Erving Small Forward Award winner, and also a Jerry West Shooting Guard Award winner, a top 10 finalist for that as well. So Jacob Evans III, now part of the Warriors. Chris?
Good combination of size, frame, and length for a wing position. Versatile player who ticks a number of boxes off as a NBA teams are looking for a guy at that position. He shot 38% from three in his three seasons in college. He posted a 2-to-1 assist-to-turnover ratio. So, you know, he's not an elite athlete at the position, but he's someone who should be able to come in and give the Warriors help off the bench at the shooting guard, small forward position, because you know they're top heavy, so they have to have rookies contribute like Jordan Bell, like Evans, because they're spending all their money on Durant, Clay, Steph, Draymond. That's what you have with this roster. You need to get something, squeeze everything out of the rookies that you take at the end of the first round.
This is also what happens, guys, when you have earned the benefit of the doubt. And not only is it because the Warriors are winning all these titles and have built this culture, that's all well and good, but they have continually found the players, like Chris, you mentioned, the younger guys who have been able to contribute and give you something. And when you have Steve Kerr and that staff and Bob Myers in the front office there out in Oakland, they believe that they can find guys who can deliver early. So absolutely, if you're a Warriors fan, you're feeling good about where you're going and you're feeling good about this new kid from Cincinnati, because that team and that organization from top to bottom has proven in recent years that they can plug in guys right away who can do the job they need around the superstars on the roster.
All right, so the Brooklyn Nets are on the clock. Then it'll be the Atlanta Hawks, and that will finish off the first round of the NBA draft. The Brooklyn Nets, the worst. The team that I avoided watching all year. You get a chance to sit down, you know, 6 o'clock Central Time game, part of the NBA package, and the Nets are on, and it just it makes your television ill. Just, I mean, I had brought the TV repairman in, and he said, "What's wrong with your television?" And he went behind the screen and said, "Oh, Brooklyn Nets basketball. That's your problem, pal. $300 for that."
That deal that Billy King made, Hoodie.
Yeah.
That deal he made so destroyed that franchise that I don't blame your TV repairman. He's not gonna,
I mean, Nick just passed over the joke.
No,
all right, yeah, fine.
It's okay.
All
he's right, not going to put it over. That's fine.
No. I'm
the guy who's going to win the award for this. So you go ahead and just go right past the awards.
Listen, that deal just totally destroyed the team. And when you make that kind of deal and the ramifications it has for years and years and years, this is like the Bulls selling off a second-round pick. You deserve every bit of anger and frustration that comes your way. And for the Nets to not be thinking in that moment about years down the line and to sign off from ownership down on making that deal for Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce, it has totally demolished them. It's just demolished a decade worth of basketball in Brooklyn.
What do you think, Chris? Because we see Fred Hoiberg now meeting up at the top here, looking over the assembled media. He's on the second floor, we're on the first floor, and we're encouraging him to please don't jump.
Hey, Fred's not jumping. He's got $5 million a year coming for a while.
He's not going to jump. Nick will catch him.
There's no question there. He'll have a nice soft cushion. So what do you think of Brooklyn? Because that, to me, that's a mess.
Well, you hated watching them. Can I give you that they were a sneaky, fun team to watch towards the end of the season? Listen, they didn't win a lot of games, but for a bad team that didn't win, their style of play was interesting to watch. Kenny Atkinson, their head coach, the way they move on the court, they're an up-tempo team. A lot of the things they do is appealing. Now, the talent that is performing on the court is not appealing whatsoever. No. The players that they're playing. So once they add some talent, that might be something to develop with the Brooklyn Nets. They have a fun style of play for a bad team.
Yeah, who's the new net that's part of the team?
Well, he just cashed that check. Dwight Howard.
Dwight Howard. Oh, man. What a terrible, terrible ball club the Nets are. And here's the thing that's so disappointing. When they first went out of New Jersey and went to Brooklyn, my first thought was, oh, Nick is going to have a fun time. It's a franchise in Brooklyn. It's going to be off the chain. Jay-Z with 1% ownership is going to be great. It's going to be like a party every night. And then you told me that watching games in Brooklyn live is like any other arena in the NBA.
It's so boring. It is so boring in Brooklyn.
See, I don't get it. They're fun to watch. They were 6th in pace last year. So, they play a fun style of basketball, even though they're bad. Like, I'm not trying to put you over that they're good. They just don't have the talent to play with the style of play that they're trying to do.
Hollis Jefferson, you're a big fan.
Yeah, Hollis Jefferson's okay. You know, you have to figure out what D'Angelo Russell is.
Right.
I mean,
D'Angelo Russell.
You trade for Allen Crabbe.
D'Angelo Russell, I said, why did you wear number 0 at Ohio State? He said, that number indicates how many people that can guard me.
Oh. Yeah, well.
Oh, man, I don't think I ever heard that story from you.
Yet?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Karen Bellis was there.
Yeah, I've heard it.
Yikes.
Where have you been, Nick?
Yikes. Look, D'Angelo Russell, on top of the issues that he had in Los Angeles with teammates, he just hasn't proven to be worthy of a number 2 pick. And when you miss on picks and you miss on big contracts in the league, you are in real deep trouble with what it now takes to be on a championship level or now, building towards it.
And, Nick, you make a great point. You miss at number 2, and you're in this scenario now because you traded for the guy that people missed at number 2. And the Atlanta Hawks taking Trae Young 3rd overall tonight is staring it right in the face, right? Because that move, missing on Luka Doncic, who you had, and then you traded to Dallas.
Right.
I mean, that's something that will set the Atlanta Hawks back for years.
And this is a team here that had momentum. You know, had a coach of the year in Mike Budenholzer, five, 6 years in a row going to the playoffs, and then they just unplugged it immediately. Like, oh, well, now LeBron's still in the East, so nope, we're just going to unplug it. But then if you're going to do that, start building the, you know, start having some building blocks for your franchise. Atlanta really did not do that here in the draft. In the end, with Trae Young, the numbers are gaudy. They're tremendous. The thing is, though, is that what the league is going? Is it toward smaller guards, or is it for bigs, guys with size? Here's Adam Silver with the Brooklyn pick.
With the 29th pick in the 2018 NBA Draft, the Brooklyn Nets select Janan Musa from Bihać, Bosnia, and Herzegovina, and KK Sedevita in Croatia.
The 19-year-old Bosnian wing is one of the most decorated FIBA youth players we've seen in the last 10 years, burst onto the scene at age 15, has been getting buckets at a high level ever since with the Bosnian national team, with Sedevita, his club in Croatia, shoots it on the move, loves to get out in transition, but questions about his ability to defend his position and make teammates better at the NBA level.
So Musa, from the small forward, from three or four different places, apparently.
Good for Adam Silver,
a very long resume for Musa. You've been keeping your eyes on him for a while. Now he's taken by the Nets.
Yeah, ESPN.com had him ranked overall 18th in this draft, and he falls at 29th to the Brooklyn Nets. So I think that's a great pick for the Nets. 6'9", he's got great size. He's got the wing skill set. He's gifted as a scorer overseas, so you need to kind of value how he scored overseas to translate to the NBA, but I think he's going to be a really nice pick for the Nets.
So Musa out of Croatia, 11.7 points a game, 2.6 rebounds, MVP of the 2014 U16 Euros after leading Bosnia to the gold medal. Exceptional ball handler for his size, now part of the Nets. The last pick of the first round of the NBA draft is the Atlanta Hawks. We'll find out what the Hawks do at 30 when we come back, as you're listening to the 2018 NBA Draft on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.